The Morning Invasion with Dex, Steve-O, and Tao.
It's just an old run-of-the-mill Wednesday. Calendar's full of.
Wednesday?
That is some strong coffee.
Wake up. Come on. Wake up!
Wake the kids. Phone the neighbors.
Her Majesty awakes.
Kevin James, I think the funniest human being ever.
Really?
I love him.
That
King,
is
King of Queens?
See this?
Bold.
See this? Marker on getting.
Statement.
You just pointed at me. You guys don't like Kevin James?
No.
I said he's one of the funniest.
There
I didn't say he is.
You
said he's
difference.
The funniest.
Yes, you
you
did.
Rewind it.
Major
Play
difference.
It back right now.
Kevin James, I think the funniest human being ever.
Really?
I love him. Okay, I
really?
Misspoke.
Got
my bad.
Back,
really my
Malt
bad,
Bart?
Guys.
Really, Mall Cop 2?
Under all the circumstances, I disagree.
You people are crazy.
Suppose we go on to the next subject.
Is everyone in the control room ready?
Come on. It's showtime.
Go ahead. Just sing it, man.
Good morning.
Morning.
Wednesday, April 27th.
Come on, guys.
Woo!
No? Zoom ahead.
Waiting for him to
zoom.
Zoom. 6:05.
I didn't hear it.
What was that?
I didn't hear it either. It sounded weird.
It's almost like I didn't check the weather this morning.
What?
It's almost like I don't know. Like, I'm just stalling till this app actually loads. How did he have 68 degrees?
Any rain today?
Partly cloudy. Mostly clear, however.
Did it rain anywhere yesterday?
Yes.
It snowed yesterday.
It snowed?
Yeah.
For a second.
It really... And Christy was up in Santa Fe, and it snowed hard.
What?
Yeah. So, today mostly sunny in the morning. It's going to become partly cloudy throughout the afternoon, highs in the upper 60s. And the winds, of course.
I love the cool. I love the cool.
So I'm ready for it to get a little warmer. And I'm ready for the wind to go away.
Yeah, dude.
Bring the cool.
Cool!
I keep having a shower, like, every day because of this wind at the baseball field. It's just all this dirt. And I'm like, who likes to shower daily?
Oh,
am
that's
right?
What's different about you.
It's the worst.
You've been showering.
Look at how
day.
Curly my hair is. I took a shower last night and just went to bed. And it was like...
Looks good.
Yeah.
I like a poofy.
Okay.
Poofy. Poofy?
It's real good. Poofy.
Thanks,
poofy.
I love it, poofy.
Can you say poof?
Yeah, it's poofy.
Can you say roof?
Gosh. I don't know about
you'll get
me
it.
Sometimes.
Hey, you'll
I
get
really
it.
I don't.
Did you say I don't know about me sometimes?
Yeah, I said that.
That was a cute thing to say.
It's poofy. Look at his hair. It's just poofy over there.
Poofy.
That's what I said. Poofy.
I don't know about me sometimes.
So it is working.
What's working?
The webcam.
What are you talking about?
Well, guys, look, I'm trying to produce stuff over here, and that's what I see.
Okay. Today is the 118th day of the year.
Dang, dude.
Gosh.
When we first started the show, it was like the 12th day of the year. Remember that?
Yeah, that was, wasn't
oh, man.
It?
Yeah.
It was almost Christmas then, and now it's almost Christmas again.
No, Christmas had just happened.
It's even closer.
It was
so close.
It's like January. Guys.
Did you already get your present?
I already did my Christmas shopping.
No.
Gosh, there's so many good deals.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I need to do mine. I need to.
Yeah.
Guys, this band from yesterday, you know, we played that We Are Vessel track.
Yeah.
Dude, they are on us right now.
I was going to say, did you get that email?
Yeah.
They hit us up.
We got an email from their people, I guess. It's probably one of the guys in the band.
What'd they say?
They said, hey, hello, I represent the band We Are Vessel from Georgia. I'm currently setting up radio interviews with stations playing the new single. I'm also working on tour dates for June through September. Yeah.
That's cool.
He says he's part of the Morning Invasion. Mike, TMI, Shattered Silence Music.
Huh.
So where is Mike? Where is he at?
So when are you going to break the news that you didn't add them?
I don't know, because I don't think we're going to add
it. I know.
Well, but some people liked it.
Yeah, they did. They did. It didn't get bad reviews.
What did you guys think of that song?
Yeah, it wasn't for me. Just wasn't for me.
That's how I felt.
Not that it was bad. It just wasn't for me. It's not my poison.
I'm with Brandy C. She said, I just kind of feel like I'm over the style of rock. And I'm kind of with her on that. You know, it's not like it's bad or anything. It's just not like it's something that I gravitate towards anymore.
Yeah. I hear you.
It's like I was reading, because Blink-182, one of my favorite bands, is putting out a new single tomorrow. It's coming out. They got a new guy in the band named Matt Skiba. He was in Alkaline Trio. Tom DeLonge's not in the band anymore. And one of the people in the little forum I was reading was talking about, they were talking to the forum leader or whatever, and they were like, do you think this will be one of your albums of the year? And then he said, Blink's not really an album of the year band for me anymore.
Mm.
Like, they're one of his favorite bands, but typically when their albums come out, it's not like when Neighborhoods came out. That was a great record, and I loved it, but it didn't have a lot of staying power for a lot of people, you know? It's not one that you go back to and say, that's the one I want to listen. Like, you'll go back to their self-titled or Dude Ranch or something like that, Enema of the State. Like, you'll go back there.
Yeah.
But you won't, you know, go back to that album. And I agree with that. It was kind of like, it's weird how music that you love so much can just, and bands that you love so much, they can slip from being like your pinnacle band to like a nostalgia thing, where you love them, whatever they do, but that's not something that you're like going for, you know, like, this is going to be my favorite record of the year.
Yes.
It's like a different category.
I hear you.
Almost.
I gotcha.
It's kind of how this version of rock is for me. It's kind of like it reminds me of high school.
Yeah.
And college, and that's about it.
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah. For me, it's more kindergarten.
Kindergarten?
Pre-K. But
man,
I don't know.
Sometimes I don't know about you, Dex.
Pre-K, maybe first, second grade. I don't know.
Yeah.
Music was great back then.
Back then, I had the Cookie Monster.
I've been down with you since pre-K. Now we're in the studio.
It's Babe Ruth Day.
What? Ooh.
Steve-O, it's Babe Ruth Day.
That's cool. SWAT? The King of Clout?
Not a Yankees fan.
He's not your boy?
We need to call Doug.
If you're a baseball fan, that was everybody's boy.
We need to call Doug.
Actually. Yeah.
Doug is a Yankees fan.
He is a Yankees fan. If you had said, let's see, it's Ted Williams Day, I'd been like, yes, dude, one of the greatest hitters of all time. If you had said it's Ken Griffey Jr. Day, I would have lost my mind, because even though I'm an Angels fan and he was mostly a Mariner, which is a division rival, he's still one of the greatest baseball players of all time, in my opinion. I love Ken Griffey Jr. Yeah. I used to go see the Angels play every summer in Anaheim, specifically against the Mariners, so that I could see Ken Griffey Jr.
Really?
And A-Rod, when he was A-Rod started as a Mariner, like as a rookie.
A-Rod?
So I got to see A-Rod, yes, the great A-Rod, when he was good and didn't take steroids. And Ken Griffey Jr. Oh, dude.
The Mariners still around?
Yeah, they're around.
Yes, dude.
My best friend in high school, John Mark Webb, I guess elementary school, his favorite player was Ken Griffey Jr.
Dude.
Everybody loved Ken Griffey Jr.
It's because he was great, man. He was fantastic, and he played the game the right way.
But I always heard he was kind of a jerk in person.
Dude, no way. He was here for the New Mexico Bowl.
Really?
Yeah, he was here.
That's cool.
And took pictures with some of the kids that played Little League with our boys. They were showing pictures of getting to meet Ken Griffey Jr., and I was just like, that's cool, man. You don't even know.
You don't even appreciate that.
You don't
know
me.
You don't appreciate no things.
Peter Benson appreciates it. He's got a ton of Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, I bet Peter Benson would appreciate it.
So, he was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan, though, so he's not Yankees either.
9 days until Captain America.
You are.
Oh, man.
I got to say this, too. I'm so excited about that movie.
Chrissy said we can go.
Little snippets of Spider-Man are starting to come out, and he's perfect.
Yesterday, I got home and I said, Chrissy, did you see the new TV spot?
Giggling.
There's a new TV spot. And she says, I don't want to see anymore. And I'm like, okay. I don't want to see it either, but Teo and I saw it anyways. Can I tell you what happens? Can I just tell you then? She was making fun of me.
I was telling Dawn about it, too.
So funny.
The cool thing is,
we're grown-ups.
I was like, watch this, Dawn, and she loved it.
Oh, dude.
The cool thing is, I read comments about it because it was like, I feel like Marvel is showing too much. They're showing too much in the trailers. They're showing too much. And then people that have actually seen the movie, because quite a few people have already seen it.
Yeah.
They said, don't worry. All the stuff they're showing is basically the same stuff. They're just kind of recycling it.
Yeah.
You haven't even seen 10% of the movie. Like, you have not even close.
This is Nerd City.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm excited.
Oh, I can't wait. We're going. Oh, that was good. Except,
right?
No, this.
Whoa.
No, the the pointer finger has to go out too. Dude, yeah. You're like doing this like surf thing.
That's
and
a neat
the
thing.
Web would obviously have shot like woo drastically to the right. Yeah, that's shoo. Not. That's shoo. Not how it
makes this noise. It goes
shoo. Nope,
shoo.
That's not.
Yeah, it does about a swing.
So Spider-Man goes shoo, and then he flies.
Guys,
awesome.
Feel like I'm,
there it is. There, that's the one. Wait, mine, when I shoot the web, it goes, yo, dog. That's mine. Shoot it. Go.
I can't. I don't know how to ready.
Do it.
Oh,
you ready?
Man.
Go. Yo, dog.
Yeah, that's my web.
What's dude. Yours? What's yours, Steve-O?
Gangsta web.
Hey, girl. What up?
No, his is that's... I am tired.
I am tired.
Guys, no, mine's just...
More money, more problems. That's what I always
that's
say.
Not yeah, what, yeah, I don't say that.
That's
I
never
say that.
Stop with the sound effects. That's woo, not woo. Mine. Mine's
trying
just,
to find yours, man.
Mine's easily just this.
Scott Stanley, the man, the myth, the legend.
That's a long
that's
one.
A good one.
It is a really long one.
It takes a long time. I don't know if you're going to be able to fight villains.
That's but really it good. Won't matter because I'm Scott Sterling. So.
They're going to laugh. Oh, I love Scott Sterling. Why am I robbing this bank?
I love our live line because we go off on 17 different tangents. And
they keep up with us.
Within the last 2 minutes, yes, the tangents, like people going, dude, Blink's not even Blink anymore. Tom was the band.
Yeah, bro.
Then we got like, hey, don't forget Edgar Martinez and Randy Johnson on that Seattle team. How could I forget that?
What's up, bro?
Who said Blink's not even Blink anymore?
5058. I'm just kidding.
I disagree with you.
Because
Travis and Mark are still in the
yeah,
band.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right, dude. That's called Sum 41. No. I mean, plus 47.
This
I mean,
is, Blink 180. This is what I think. If Tom DeLonge quit Angels and Airwaves and a different singer popped, then you would say, that's not Angels and Airwaves anymore.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No.
But you can't say that about Blink.
No, you really can't. It's tough because Travis and
it was
Mark
equally.
Were, yes.
I mean, Travis added so much when he joined the band. And then Mark is over half of the band,
right.
Arguably.
Yeah.
And then Tom DeLonge, all he did was make up words to melody.
Right. Oh, you're killing me. He's still my favorite part of that band. Gosh.
How do you fit 7 syllables in tonight?
Because
he found
Tom
a way.
Tom DeLonge, bro.
It's crazy.
All of his syllables are DeLonge.
Okay.
It's his namesake, bro.
In 1880,
what?
Francis Clarkeen M.G. Foster patented the electrical hearing aid.
Nice. We've had those for a long time.
I said, in 1880, Francis Clarkeen M.G. Foster patented the electrical hearing aid.
No, we were agreeing with you.
Didn't hear you, son.
You just weird?
Yeah. It's my life now, guys.
What?
My mother-in-law is almost completely deaf.
Can't hear you, son.
Oh.
Son.
Stop it.
Do you just give up and stop saying it?
I shake my head now, and I give her thumbs up or thumbs down. I don't even talk to her anymore. I'm such a horrible human being because I can never... Every time if she asks me a question, I just know that she's going to go, pardon me?
Why?
Pardon me?
Pardon me? And she's trying to be as sweet as she can about it, and then you're mean.
You're such a jerk. I would call you out for calling her out, but she's never going to hear this.
I know.
Yeah.
What?
She's listening right now.
I even open up with it being loud.
Right?
Ask me a question.
Did you pick up the flu shot today at the Walgreens?
Yes, I did!
Pardon me?
What?
Punch me in the face, somebody!
Punch him in the ear.
That's the one thing she would have heard. Okay!
Yes. Oh, I will. She's selectively hearing your words. Okay.
Oh, I got you,
French,
son.
French.
Look at the beautiful sky outside. Them pink clouds.
It's not beautiful. It's ugly.
51 years ago, genius R.C. Duncan patented the Pampers brand disposable diaper.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Revolutionized. Did you guys end up doing cloth at all?
Yeah.
No. Okay.
We did.
Okay.
It's
yeah,
way cheaper.
Yeah.
It was way cheaper.
And it worked out?
Yeah.
We never tried. We always were like, dude, we're going to go cloth, bruh.
I got an eyelash in my eye. Yeah, it worked. It was
fine.
That's
awesome.
We ended up using both.
Okay.
Now we use mostly disposable ones.
Okay.
Because he's grown out of the cloth.
Right? Yeah.
He's gotten so big.
Okay.
Yeah. Just little joy danger.
Dude, diapers were the most expensive aspect
formula
of
formula and diapers.
Oh, gosh.
Man, I am a diaper deal finder.
Really?
This guy right here, I will find those diapers.
Probably
deals.
Online, right?
No.
We've gotten two comments.
Physical places that I can't talk about because of non-com. But, man, I will watch for those diaper deals. You better believe it.
Yeah.
Two comments on the live line. One said, Tom was like 90% of the vocals, exclamation point. And the other one says, you have a metal arm? That's awesome, dude!
Yeah. Tell 90% of the vocals. Ask him how much he liked that last record. I'm going to argue this
guy. I loved that last record, Neighborhoods!
How much did you like
that? Oh, wait, the EP or the last record?
Just stop.
Do you even have the EP?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, some people don't even have it.
Wait, the Blink EP? That was before Apple Music, so I actually bought it. I thought it was great, but it felt like an extension of...
Same.
Cy Robertson from Duck Dynasty is how old today?
Well, you have to turn your mics up.
There you go.
Answer that. What? He's like 90, like 90% of Tom's vocals.
Is he the older guy?
That's what I'm talking about.
Cy, is he the grandpa?
My lovely, lovely
No, he's the brother. But like the brother Phil, the dad.
No, they're not real brothers. They're best friends.
Hey, look out. Here come Crazy Eyes.
That's not true.
Hey, Crazy Eyes is coming around the corner.
Are you serious right now?
Dead serious.
Wait, Cy is not really Phil's real brother?
No.
Wait.
But their last name.
Hey. You get on me. For talking about Blink 182.
What?
And you're arguing about Duck Dynasty.
You guys have been arguing for like 2 minutes.
Go ahead.
I'm not arguing with Tao. I agree with Tao.
Yeah.
I'm in agreement.
He's in agreement.
I don't think that Tom was the band. I think if you're talking like Boxcar Racer or Angels and Airwaves, argue that.
That makes sense.
But you cannot do that because, Hoppus, you wouldn't have that tasty bass.
They're blood brothers.
You wouldn't have the incredible, actual good vocals.
Full on.
Tom doesn't even want to be there.
Cy's the oldest. Yep. Cy's the oldest brother.
No, he's the...
Wait, are they really brothers? Because now I'm confused.
No, they're best friends.
Okay, let's double check this. If you're a huge Duck Dynasty fan like Dex, text in right now. Tell us.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, my humps. My lovely, lovely humps. Hey, what are you going to do?
Uncle Cy's definitely the best.
Back in Nam, they call me Crazy Eyes. The guys would say, hey, look out. Here come Crazy Eyes. Hey, Crazy Eyes is coming around the corner. That was because... My eyes are crazy good.
What?
Uncle Cy.
He's totally his brother.
I got disappointing news this morning.
Dude.
No way.
From Dex.
What?
He said that, I was so stoked about a potential interview this week.
I know.
Miss Sweeten. But Dex said that you guys' guy got back to him and said
got back to me.
She got booked up. Check it out, guys. She got booked up faster than like most celebrities.
Like right now, he said there was no one that has been booked like that. He said before he even opened his email, like to try and fill slots for us, there were over 300 radio station requests, and it was already just so by the time he even like got in to try and get us a spot, all gone.
Talking about Stephanie Tanner.
We tried, guys.
Cody Sweeten. But I was so excited.
He said he's got her back and he's going to keep trying.
Okay.
Because I told him, you don't understand. Tao loves her.
I love her. I talked to Dawn about telling Jody Sweeten to have a crush on her. And she gave me permission.
Wow.
She gave me permission by omission. Because I didn't really talk to her about it. But
nice,
it's going to happen.
That's perfect.
No, I really did. I said, Dawn, if I talk to her, I've got to tell her I got a crush on her. And she said, you got to do what you got to do.
I've got to do what I've got to do.
And I was like, oh, sounds ominous, but that's okay.
Side note, Cy Robertson is actually Phil's real brother.
Okay, I was wrong.
He's 67
You are on
years
Wikipedia,
old.
Though.
Oh, yeah. To be trusted. To be trusted every time.
They do have the same last name.
Yeah, so. And they went to the same college. They were born by the same mother. Stuff like that makes them brothers.
Mm. Yeah, you're probably right. I could have swore I saw an episode where they were talking about how they were best. Maybe they're best friend brothers. Yes.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Pardon me.
What'd he say? He's got crazy eyes.
I don't think they're really brothers. That's what I heard.
Stop yelling.
What?
Pardon
what?
Me.
What? This morning on the show, Amor Sierra will be joining us,
dude,
from Miami.
Well, but in studio.
She's from Miami. Is she from here? Did she live here at all?
No.
She just loves it here, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, she's just the jam.
Yeah, we talked to her on the phone the last time, and she's got a great story.
Yeah.
She's got a tattoo shop, Miami Tattoo Company, down in Miami.
The story of how that even got started is amazing. Like, she wasn't a tattoo woman. She didn't grow up in the industry. She never had an idea that she was going to pursue a tattoo parlor, and it all came about because of human trafficking. So we got to talk about this. It's an incredible story.
Yeah, and she also used to be a lesbian. Right?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big part of her testimony.
Yeah. It's she has.
You know, I haven't met her yet.
You haven't.
I've never met
her. That's right. I forgot.
I'm excited about it.
She'll be here around 9 o'clock this morning.
Nice.
Talk about her story. You don't want to miss it. This is gonna be good. Tell a friend.
Yeah.
Tell a friend. Coming up, we're going to discuss Kelly Ripa at 7.
Ooh.
This is huge news. Kelly is back. Michael is out. Kelly said, you're out. Fired him right on the spot in front of everybody.
Good.
I wish that's what happened, but
that's not what happened.
Yeah, no.
Very cordial.
No. We'll play some of that audio if, you know, you didn't DVR it like myself. You know, went home, watched the whole thing.
Did you DVR it?
I did.
Oh, man, that's nuts.
I'll be watching it every day now.
Wow. Please be joking.
No, he's not.
Okay.
Do you guys think dogs like it when we hug them?
Oh, my gosh. I am so glad you brought this up. Chrissy and I seriously talked about this yesterday.
Really?
Brody loves hugging Rocket. And last night, Chrissy said something to Brody about hugging the dog. And I got a little irritated.
Uh-oh.
We definitely have to talk about this coming up. Somebody went to obedience school and it wasn't our dog. That's for sure.
Okay. We're going to talk about it.
You may be surprised.
Who was it?
It was, well, you'll see.
Great story coming up about a guy who punched a stranger because he looked like this celebrity.
Oh, my gosh.
I saw this.
Nick Cage?
No.
We'll have to wait and find out.
Okay.
You don't have to wait, buddy. The text line, 585-LIVE. It's live right now. You guys can text us.
You can check out my awesome main, bro. Yeah!
505-585-5483. Text the show. Contribute. You want to comment on anything? Need help? We're here for you.
Yeah.
And the phone lines are open if you want to call and say hello. 338-3700. We'll check traffic. Teo's got headlines.
Oh, yeah.
It's Wednesday. It's the Morning Invasion.
The Morning Invasion on Star 88.
We'll be back right after these important messages.
In its earliest days, the major function of radio was news. News was the warp and woof of life. But with this contribution came a bonus. Entertainment.
Come on, man!
Guys, we got an arm wrestling match going on right now.
Over the top!
Take a look.
Ah, oh my gosh! You hurt my arm!
Because he's strong, I'm telling you, man. He needs to keep going to the forge.
I didn't realize you were really going to go for it. I thought we were just messing.
They tell us radio is dead, but this isn't entirely true. It is gone, all right, but it isn't dead.
Quit crying.
I can't. I didn't sleep last night.
Quit. Put the chair down, Dex.
Oh, I got a couple more.
Hey, gosh.
If you're watching the webcam, Dex is doing more work than he's done in 2 weeks. You're gonna be tired
for
the
rest
of the day.
Radio lives on in our minds and hearts because part of our national heritage was formed when radio was king. When radio was king.
Was king.
I am thrilled for you.
Kelly Ripa and Michael Strahan back together on Live for the first time since his surprise announcement.
A fraud case against Trump University will go to trial.
Johnny Manziel has been indicted.
Voters in five more states head to the polls.
JetBlue, Southwest, and Alaska Airlines get the highest ratings from travelers.
British officials have announced they will silence the great clock bell known as Big Ben. In January, they'll start 3 years of restoration work on the tower.
No one expects the Fed to raise rates, but that doesn't make its meeting unimportant.
Severe thunderstorms in the central plains. Some of the affected states include Oklahoma, Nebraska, Iowa, and Missouri.
Good morning. 637.
High today of 68 degrees.
Traffic. I'm enjoying this Queens of the Stone Age right now. No accidents to report right now. In fact, everything looks really good. If you got to drive somewhere, go now. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
Brought to you by Solomon's Porch right here, Calvary Campus, 4001 Osuna Road. You should come and have some breakfast, have some coffee. Good times. Coming up on the show this morning, about 7:30, we're going to talk to Prince's old bus driver. Neville was Prince's bus driver for about a year on his musicology tour. Apparently has some really cool stories. Then 9 a.m. Amore coming in. Amore.
Yeah. She's going to be awesome.
Amore.
You guys are awesome.
Phil, I just want to say amore. I have to.
That's amore.
I had to say it.
Did you say it?
It's only half the word, amore.
I feel like you totally said it.
Say it again.
Amore. Amore. That's amore. Yeah, she's got an amazing testimony. She'll be in the studio with us at 9 a.m.
That's right.
She's got a little tattoo shop down in Miami. Mm-hmm. And she's doing some great things, some big things.
Shout out to the Live Line.
Live Line.
585 Live, if you'd like to text in and hang out with us. It's 505-585-5483. Someone wanted to know the name of that last song by Family Force 5. The question was, is this song titled Feel Like Playing Destiny?
Yes. No, it's called Show of Love, but it should be called
Feel Like, Playing in Destiny. Destiny. Yeah. On the Xbox One.
The Division got the best of me.
The best of me. Best of Steve.
My friends include no one. Quit playing video games. Cops interview Prince's family attorney. Claims Percocet cocaine use.
No.
Stop it. Coming from the ever-reliable TMZ.
That's not toxicology, guys.
It's not.
Police in the Prince death investigation have interviewed a lawyer who repped two of the singer's siblings who claimed Prince abused Percocet and cocaine, and they feared he'd die young. Mike Padden is an attorney who repped Prince's half-sister Lorna, stepbrother Dwayne, in the early 2000s. He tells TMZ both Lorna and Dwayne separately told him Prince regularly abused those drugs.
Back in the 2000s?
Yeah, dude.
Well, that's a long time ago.
No, it's like he was partying like it was 1999.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Dwayne was very close to Prince, even worked as his bodyguard. We're told the lawyer contacted the cops and they called him back over the weekend for an interview. He relayed the info about the drugs in said interview. Dwayne died in 2011. Lorna passed in 2006. So Patton's information is not up to date. Another very close family member who was in touch with Prince till the end also tells TMZ Prince had used those drugs for many years. There's another point of view, however. TMZ has spoken with several people who were around Prince in the last few years of his life who say they saw no evidence of drug use, saying Prince was a health nut.
Yeah.
Mm. So, guys, this is TMZ. Dex insists on putting it in our news. I just don't.
TMZ is a little bit more legit than you think.
Well,
they're not.
I mean, I guess if you just follow people around constantly, you're going to find something.
Exactly. That's what they do.
If you're looking for something, you're going to find it. That is applicable in every life scenario. We got an update. Purple Rain's return to theaters has gotten an expansion. Wow. Due to fan demand. You can go see Purple Rain in over 200 AMC theaters around the country right now.
Purple
Rain. I noticed that it's also back up in like the iTunes movie thing and
everywhere.
Everywhere.
The best Prince guitar solo you probably haven't heard.
Year was 2004. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Nope. You really got
Show them what you're talking about, Prince. Show.
It's funny, stuff. If you watch that video, like you can tell they're supposed to, I guess at some point, it seems like the other guys were supposed to come back in, but they just let him go for it.
Yeah,
Prince just like, they're all smiling, they're all just watching him.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. For some reason, General Electric created its own hot sauce, because that makes sense. But they only made 1,000 bottles, it's already sold out. The sauce is made from two of the hottest peppers on Earth. The Carolina Reaper and the Trinidad Moruga Scorpion.
Hey friends, I'm going to try and bring a little bit of spice to your day today by testing out this new GE hot sauce. Right. It's made with Carolina Reaper and Trinidad Moruga Scorpion peppers, ooh, two of the hottest peppers that are currently in existence.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it's pretty spicy, and I'm going to try and see.
Are we allowed to play audio of somebody
actually
dying?
Handle it. So,
I can use that as toothpaste, man.
Here. Is that... Put a little dollop on there. Ooh, that's kind of a lot. I don't know if I should have put that much on there.
She
but
said dollop.
Not too terrible.
Okay. It's crunchy. Apparently the sauce is crunchy.
All right. It's got a nice little flavor to it.
Dude, I can't do it. I can't do anything. What am I supposed to do?
If you're just tuning in the show, Dilbert just ate half of a hot
dude, I'm dying.
That's what happened when we fed our stunt kid a habanero pepper.
I wanted to hear what the Selena girl actually did.
She doesn't do anything.
She goes,
oh, it's a little hot.
Dude, you know what made me angry? This last week we got beat ups. Of course, because that's what we do.
Did you get the sweet habanero?
Mango habanero. And yes, I did, because it's one of my favorites.
Oh, it's mine too.
But it's like blazing, which is their hottest, and then mango habanero right underneath it. It's burning as my same. And so, you know, I'm like rocking it. I'm like, sweating, just nose dripping, you know, because I always get a bunch of those. And my 12-year-old, his name is Jack Jeter. He goes, can I try one of these?
No.
And I'm like, no, dude.
You're not ready.
You're not. You will die. No, absolutely not. Because I'm like taking him in like, you know, boneless wing at a time, like the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like a man, because that's how a man eats them. And Jack's like, let me just try it. And I'm like, dude, all right, if I give this to you, you're going to have to eat the whole thing. Oh. Because that's messed up. You're taking one of my wings. Oh. These are mine. And so he's like, whatever, okay. So he takes a bite of one, and he's like, oh, all the flavor's bad. It tastes like garbage smells. I'm not eating the rest of this. And I'm like, it's because it's too hot for you, isn't it? And he goes, it's not even hot. It's not even hot. And I was like, just waiting.
Yeah.
I'm waiting.
Because the mango habanero,
it takes a second. It
takes
up on
it
you.
It takes a little bit.
I'm like, oh, it's going to kill him.
It's going to kill him.
I can't wait.
Any minute now.
It's going to be so good. And Luke goes, psh, whatever. I'll eat the whole thing. And he grabs it and shoves the whole thing in his mouth. And he's like, oh, he's right. It tastes like garbage. And he goes and he like spits it out in the trash. They wasted a mango habanero. And I'm waiting, and like a minute goes by.
Oh, any minute now. It's any minute.
And then like 5 minutes goes by.
They really didn't care about it.
And then like,
really?
Like 10 minutes goes by. And I'm
man.
Like, wait, so that really wasn't hot to either
wow.
of you?
Do they like spicy stuff?
I guess so, because neither one of them reacted
that's
like
crazy.
I was hoping and expecting and praying. And I was like, I just want to see one of them pass out.
Caleb thinks ketchup
you
is hot.
You want to see one of them pass out? Yeah, come on, pass out, kids.
Apparently, we've raised them out. Correctly because those kids are raised on green chili, like hot green chili. And so I know that they can handle spicy stuff, but I'm like, this is mango habanero. This is like made in a lab somewhere. This is science. It's going to burn their insides. Yeah.
That's right.
Nothing.
Oh, man.
Good
they
job, boys.
They didn't even react, and I was so angry.
Well, good job.
It was worthless.
They got the New Mexican blood in them.
For wasted that, it. Your dad wasted. And I are going to take you to see Civil War.
Yeah.
Right?
Awesome.
Right?
That's right. That's right, man.
And Dex is going to pay for all of us. A choir from a middle school in North Carolina, started singing the national anthem outside the 9/11 memorial in New York last Friday. And a security guard stopped them mid-song because he said it was a public demonstration and they didn't have a permit.
What?
That's crazy. The national anthem.
Wow.
Weird.
You can't sing it anymore, guys. It's offensive.
This last week, we were at a ball game at different fields, and they do things differently there. And the blue behind the plate goes, "Everyone, please rise and remove your caps, gentlemen. We're going to look at that flag. Pull."
No flag?
No flag.
Oh, no.
Probably because it was really windy, and I think somebody had just taken it down.
They didn't want the flag to go.
And it was like, what is happening? And we all stood there and did the Pledge of Allegiance, and I just felt like I was in third grade again. It had been so long. It was
what
like,
am I looking at?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
There is a flag somewhere.
To the flagpole.
That would have been. It's a good thing they took it down though, because you don't want to like the next day. Like we come in the next morning and be like, "Death by American flag."
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like some driver, you know, and then covered their car.
Yeah. So hadn't done that in a while.
This is kind of weird, but kind of good, I think, guys. There's a story here, local news out of Santa Fe, the city different, and they're taking a different approach to finding a lost dog. They're drones out looking for it.
Drones are the future.
A missing dog in Santa Fe, and
that's
it is
cool.
A beautiful dog.
Yeah, I mean,
I've got a picture
nice
here.
Dog.
It's got four legs, lots of hair, two ears,
looks
two
like
eyes.
A dog.
There's a nose on that thing. It's pretty incredible.
How much is that going to cost us?
Like a billion.
Yeah,
a billion millions. I don't know.
Found the dog,
but here's
only
the thing.
Only cost us $143,000.
Let's get real sad for a second. The search continues for a dog that ran off after a nasty crash. Now they're moving the search from ground to air. John Weiser isn't giving up looking for his 16-year-old husky, Fenway. He was spotted just across from us from here on the gully. A week ago, Weiser and his family were coming in from Colorado on I-25. They exited near Santa Fe and hit a patch of ice. We hit the wire fence in the median, caused the truck to roll five times.
Oh my God.
The entire family was hospitalized but made it out okay. One of their dogs, however, was killed in the crash. One survived, stayed by the car. Fenway took off. The fact that he's deaf and he can't hear is why we're out
How
here
are
looking.
You telling this story?
I'm telling it
this
because
is heartbreaking.
People need to know.
Well, here's the thing. That's such a beautiful dog.
Yeah.
I bet you anything somebody took that dog in.
So the drone is flying 50 feet in the air, started in the area where the dog was last spotted, and they're watching a real-time video for any signs of the husky. Obviously, we're hoping to hit a home run and find the dog, says this other guy, Luke Fitch. He's the guy with the drone, I think. Even if not, we can really eliminate areas that are much more difficult to find on foot. So they just want the dog back safe. This is the first search and rescue effort for an animal the drone company has ever done. The drone company that Luke Fitch is with is called Altitude FX. They hope their public service will help find Fenway and also improve the reputation of drones.
That's pretty cool.
This is an interesting twist on the drone thing, because we hear about, you know, like, I guess military sending in drones to try to find the enemy or maybe, you know, find people that have gone missing. But on a local level, you never really hear about it used that way.
Right.
You hear about the manhunt where people stand side by side and go off into the woods looking for anything. Drones could be a pretty effective way to try to locate missing people.
Do they have like technologies that it has like predator eyes so that they could see things?
So.
And like
they also have Wi-Fi hotspots.
Heat sensitivities. And really?
No, I don't know. But it could be an interesting thing.
Pretty cool.
I think for right now that is all my news.
I'd go help with a manhunt in the mountains if they had drones with Wi-Fi hotspots, because I could still play like my Clash of Clans and stuff while I was like
you're
searching.
Not looking then.
Oh wait.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Talk to him, Dex.
You can't do that. It's against the law.
Tell him about it. Tell him.
We have a question on the live line. It's a good question. Why is Prince's death receiving this kind of attention? Whitney Houston and Michael Jackson's death seem more controversial than anything else. It's almost like he was a real prince. MJ was the king of pop, and Whitney was the queen of R&B. But this prince is...
Michael Jackson was the king of pop because he called himself the king of pop.
Does this person not remember when Michael Jackson died?
No, that was... Yeah.
That was huge. When Michael Jackson died, it was way bigger than Prince.
This is nothing in comparison to when Michael Jackson died.
And unfortunately, and I don't get me wrong, man, I loved Whitney Houston. Everybody loved Whitney Houston. But when she died, like, it wasn't controversial.
The circumstances around her death were pretty grisly.
Like, oh, she drowned in a bathtub because she was Hi.
You don't want to talk about that a lot.
Surprise. Yeah. Like, it sucked.
Yeah, sure.
A lot.
She lost her voice. She couldn't sing like she used to.
It was awful. But you see somebody decline to such a state that it's like, nobody wants to talk about Whitney Houston in that regard because she was such an incredible musician. Her voice was like no other. Yeah. That you don't want to talk about that because it was tragic. It was a tragic ending unless you're trying to tell your kids, like, hey, kids. Don't get too famous and let it go to your head because you lose yourself and get addicted to things and die in a bathtub.
I mean, I remember when Michael Jackson died, it was like, Prince Diana or Princess Diana died. You remember that?
That was
crazy.
Yeah.
And it really was like when Michael Jackson died, it really was like a royal person had died.
Yep.
Update to our story we just had. Can I get some unsolved mysteries
for the
remember
puppy?
That? Yeah. No. Sorry.
Oh.
Update.
Where'd
remember
it go?
Unsolved mysteries when they used to be like,
yeah. Update. Robert Stack would walk out.
Yeah, dude.
Update.
Yeah. Kids from North Carolina have been given a full apology or invited back to sing.
The oh, good.
National anthem.
Oh, well, that's good. Glad to hear.
So make the trip all the way back up to New York.
I was just about to say, would you want to?
Just so you can go sing and nobody will yell at you this time.
I wouldn't want to.
Nope. I wouldn't either.
I'd be like, no, everybody gets one and you wasted yours.
That's right.
I was like, I think I broke out in hives last year when we went back to Disneyland because the year before we had gone and Brody has crazy allergies. And the first night we were there, we went to a foodery and said, hey, this kid cannot have A, B, C, D, E. Can you please prepare it this way? Can you make sure they brought it out? We're like, are you sure? We want to talk to the man. No, we're sure. Sure enough, the next morning, crazy fevers. He missed all of Disneyland. So it's like, when that stuff happens, you don't immediately go, man, you know what I want to do?
Go back
to that place.
Yeah, no kidding.
Let's just go back.
Coming up at 7:30, we're going to talk to Prince's bus driver, Neville.
Neville Longbottom! He's my favorite!
Neville Shende.
Gosh, it just sounds like
it does.
Every time. I don't know, man. The AG in me, I just want to grab a hanky.
Also coming up, Kelly Ripa returned.
Wait, Kelly Ripa's on the show today?
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome.
Tune in.
I can't wait. She's so sweet.
Hang out with us.
Stay tuned. The Morning Invasion is coming back. Fair warning, The Morning Invasion is back on Star 88.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi. Woo!
Ready?
Yeah.
Oh, this is good.
Let's get up over here, man. All right.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Dex, Steve-O, and Tao.
Hi.
7:10.
High today of 68 degrees.
Nothing to report on the road right now. You guys have a good trip. Feel like a Travis.
Traffic!
You all good, man?
What?
You, you okay?
Uh-uh.
You've changed, man. You've changed.
I know. I'm really upset.
Yeah. Come on now. Come on now.
Coming up, Prince's bus driver.
Woo!
We have the exclusive interview. 7:30.
We just got a text on the live line, and I peed a little, so I'm corroborating this with fact to see if it's breaking news, and if it's real, I'm going to lose money.
Whoa.
If it's something from the 90s, don't even bother talking about it.
Dang, dude.
Oh, gosh, it's corroborated! According to multiple sources and the live line, Cormier John Jones 2 set for headlining UFC 200. Woo! July's looking good!
Well, we knew that was going to happen.
Wow!
They just made it official.
We know that.
Yeah, we
Connor,
knew that.
I want to know what's going to happen with Conor McGregor, who's still blasting everything, saying he's fighting.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about that yet. We should do that. Because the whole Conor McGregor situation. Now, if you're not a UFC fan, you got to listen to this drama, because it's pretty good.
Oh, it's WWE style.
It's really good. Now, some might say It's scripted. If it is scripted, they did some great writing.
They really did.
Conor McGregor is this amazing Irish fighter.
He came out of nowhere, man.
He did. He came out of nowhere, and he was just, he was taking guys down in under a minute. And he was the poster child. Still is the poster child for the UFC.
But he was, like, disrespectful. He was talking so much trash.
He's
Irish. Remember Jose Aldo and before he had that fight, grabbing his belt. And yeah. People were, man, that was disrespectful. And you don't do that. And he's going to get punked. And then he knocked out the champ in 13 seconds.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my gosh, was that a fluke? Was it? We don't know. And then he's like, I'm going to different weight classes because I don't care. I'm just going to fight.
I can get the belt in every weight class.
I'm just going to do all they're going to make a Conor McGregor belt.
Oh, I can get the belt in every weight class.
That was all right. I mean, that wasn't terrible.
So he moves up in weight and fights this guy by the name of Nate Diaz. The Diaz brothers, they're no joke.
Who I'm not a fan of.
They are from Sacramento, California, and they're from the hood.
Yeah.
I mean, they are straight up thugs.
Yes.
And so he fights a guy, what, two weight classes up?
Mm-hmm.
And gets beat.
Yeah.
Gets beat. And
that was a bummer.
He ate some humble pie for sure.
He really did.
And so he's I loved what he said after he got beat. I thought it was great. And he's ready to get back into a camp and start working on his next fight. And he's training. He goes to Iceland. He moves his team out there. And then Dana White in the UFC said, hey, we need you to fly back to the States because we have to do some promotional stuff. We need you to shoot some videos and do some press. And Conor McGregor said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not leaving Iceland. I just got here.
Right. I'm training. I got to focus on what's important. I just lost my last fight because you guys had me promoting everything. I'm not your monkey. I'm a fighter. I'm going to get back to doing what I do best.
The thing with the UFC is that I don't know if it's in your contract, in everyone's contract, but every fighter has to show up for these things.
Yeah.
They have to or they don't fight. So Conor McGregor, thinking he is above everybody, said, sorry, not coming. Well, Dana White, president of the UFC, kicks him off the next card, off the next fight card, UFC 200, kicks him off. And Conor, I think, I can't imagine what it'd be like being with him at that moment when he realized, they just kicked me off. Mm-hmm. He just kicked me off UFC 200. So then he starts tweeting that he's back on the card, when in reality, he never was put back on the card. Because Dana White said it's not fair. If I put him back on the card, it's not fair to these other fighters that have flown in from all around the world.
Yeah.
And his fight is still 3 months out. So is it really a big deal that he got on a plane and flew out to do these promotional things for a couple days? Not really. So he's kicked off of UFC 200.
Can I have some Unsolved Mysteries music already?
Yes. Did you find some news out?
Oh, my goodness.
Did you find something out? Is he back on the card?
Let's get into it, Steve-O.
Update.
Yes.
John Jones scheduled to headline UFC 200 opposite Daniel Cormier July 9th. However, John Jones was one of 10 fighters who received a potential 6 months medical suspension in the aftermath of last weekend's UFC 197. According to the Nevada Athletic Commission last night, this news could be significant for John Jones, depending on the outcome of a left foot x-ray requested by the commission.
I don't know.
Yeah, John Jones must have his left foot x-rayed if positive. Then it requires clearance by an orthopedic doctor or no contest until October 21st, 2016. His headlining UFC 200 already in jeopardy.
You just announced it. Now you're saying it's probably not going to happen?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Update.
Play the Unsolved Mysteries music.
Oh, no.
Update. I still don't know what they're talking about. Teo.
By the way, the Diaz brothers are from Stockton, not Sacktown, dog.
Okay, whatever. Same thing.
Thanks, Liveline.
Same thing.
It is not the same thing.
Pretty much.
They're from Stockton, yo.
Rah! Do they train in Sacramento?
I don't know.
I thought they were from Sacramento. Never. They're I don't know Stockton. Anything. Don't ever listen to me.
That's okay. Listen. No one cares where they're from.
I know nothing.
Sometimes we don't know about you, Dex.
Thank you.
Even Taylor. You don't know about you.
I just don't know about myself. I just don't know about just myself. Don't know.
Guys, we've got a very serious question on the live line that merits a response.
Well, hurry up, because I got to get into this Kelly Ripa stuff.
Why is it that people rally together and make a huge deal about a celebrity's death and it gets blasted on the news everywhere, yet we as Christians can't talk about the death of Jesus and what he has done for the people of the world and the sacrifice he made for us?
Why can't you?
That was my remedial thought.
What
do you mean, why can't you?
That's what we're supposed to do.
That's exactly what we're doing.
As disciples of Jesus Christ, that is what we're supposed to do every single day.
Good news for everybody.
I would also say this.
We all just talked about it.
Right. And I would also say this. The quote difference, if you will, you know, if people are like, yeah, but it's all over the news and people care about that news article that happened this week. Well, their job is to try and sell newspapers or sell media time or whatever it is. And that's what people, the culture around us, care about and want to talk about. And so Prince headlining, you know, his death as a headline is still grabbing people in the news everywhere. You look somewhere and there's always going to be a story about Prince. Whereas, unfortunately, you know, the death of Christ 2,000 plus years ago, one wouldn't be, quote, headline news. Now, obviously, we as Christians know the difference because the veil has been lifted. We have an understanding of what that truly represents, that God came and conquered death so that we could have eternal life with him. That's the most incredible news on the planet. But we also know that God in his word himself said that this cross is going to be an offense to people. Like, not everybody's going to get it, and it's going to be divisive. And the death of a reality show star or a musician or an actor or something isn't necessarily divisive, it's just sad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it kind of unites people in a different way, and they go, man, I loved his music, I can get behind that. Or, oh man, I also dealt with this, or I, whatever the situation is, and you can kind of rally behind that. And the bare bones truth of it is, the gospel of Jesus Christ is divisive. Why can't you talk about the death of Jesus Christ? I don't know why you can't. I believe you can. Will you come up against odds and obstacles? Yeah, absolutely. But it doesn't mean we stop talking about it. And we
exactly.
don't. So,
there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Love that. All right. Yeah, you guys can hit us up anytime on that live line. 585-LIVE. Text the show. We'll read it. Maybe you don't even want us to share it on the radio. We'll keep it completely anonymous. Just make sure you let us know that. And I love getting all these text messages.
We got a very neat. Serious one.
Another one?
Yeah.
Gosh, I got to get into this Kelly Ripa stuff, man.
Possible addiction question.
On the air?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's how to tell you've been listening to The Morning Invasion too much. You start having nightmares about not being able to turn on the radio because the universe is working against you, so that means you're going to miss The Morning Invasion. And then the world blows up. This is a legit dream I had last night.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. It's just a dream.
Yeah, it's just a dream. We're here.
It's only just a dream.
We're here. We're not going anywhere.
Reportedly.
Yeah.
Update.
Yeah. Stay tuned. Never know what's going to happen.
I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, a listener, and she was just like, I really feel like, I know we got to get to Kelly Ripa, but since we're kind of on this train of thought, I really feel like the show's getting too secular. And it was a genuine concern coming from a good place, coming from like a well-intentioned heart. I just really, you know, and this is what she was saying. I just really feel like it's getting too secular. You know, like it, when it was just before The Morning Invasion, before Dex came along and you guys changed your morning show again, it was, you know, you talked about things and you talked about Jesus way more. And you talked about, you know, you played, you know, more of Christian music, I guess. And
you guys did play way more music.
We did. We played way more music because we couldn't talk.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing was, you know, I understand where you're coming from. And she made the point. She said, you know, I flip over to K-Love and it's like, and I interpreted that as a good thing.
Yeah.
Because that's all the detail I got. But then I listen to you guys and it's just, you know, and then I said, well, maybe K-Love is your thing.
Hmm.
I mean, that's the thing. Maybe you just need to flip to K-Love and keep it there. But the thing is, like, our audience, they're not all Christians. And
we got to get through our head that there's a time and a place to talk about Jesus. And yes, do it as much as you want to. But, have you ever heard when people pray and they constantly throw in, like, God, Jesus, Lord? And I know it's not, nobody doesn't have good intentions when they're doing that. In fact, a lot of times that's just like what do we call it when we say all the time?
Right. A crutch.
Yeah, it's a crutch. It's a verbal crutch where you don't know what you're about to say. But then think about that. You don't know what you're about to say, so you just throw in the name of God.
Yeah. Right.
Not to overanalyze it or anything like that, but it seems like a lot of times when we're supposed to be talking about Jesus, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's because you don't know what you're supposed to say, and so you throw in a three-step salvation plan as a crutch.
Yeah. Right.
Because you're not actually listening to anybody, and you're not actually talking about anything.
And it does a disservice.
Yeah, you're totally just talking to talk. And then it's kind of like, it could be interpreted as coming from a place of fear.
Yeah.
Because you're worried that if you don't talk about Jesus enough, God's going to be mad at you about it.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not about that here on this show. We're going to talk about ordinary things. We're going to talk about normal stuff that everybody can relate to.
Right.
And then when it happens, it's going to happen.
Well, because
and
it's
going to happen in a real way.
All of us are believers in Jesus Christ. And when you are a Christian and when you truly are walking and you are transformed, it pours out of you regardless.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about Prince or Kelly Ripa or anything else in culture or our love for comic books.
Are Christians not allowed to be into secular things?
Well,
that's what I want to
ask. I will tell you right now.
Is that not allowed?
Can we never say that stupid word again?
I can't stand it either.
So you just said it!
I can't stand it.
I don't think the
person that Tao was talking about said that.
Christians have made that word.
Yeah.
And before somebody goes, oh, no, you didn't. Here we go. Romans 12 says, do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of mind. Yeah, I know. So why don't you tell me what the patterns of the world are that it's talking about in Romans? Because if you think it's talking about listening to Prince or catching the latest Captain America Civil War movie, man, you've got to go reread that.
You missed the mark.
Well, here's my thing. And
pride,
not coming from a from like a place of
how do we get
soapboxy or whatever. Not coming off like that. I just want to say this. When we talk about something, look, when we always talk about video games and how violent they are and how we have become desensitized to violence in our culture and death and all that, and it's because we constantly talk about it. Guys, the same thing can happen with good things. Mm-hmm. When you constantly listen to a band that you love, you get desensitized to the band. When you constantly watch a movie that you love, you get desensitized to the movie. And when you constantly talk about Jesus constantly.
And I would say repetitively.
You get that's what I'm saying.
Because it's okay to...
You get desensitized. More so than you know.
Mm.
You know? And you don't want these holy, sacred things to come off as cheap, even to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why we approach it from a more natural place.
Yep.
Let it come up when it needs to come up, and then don't force it.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I love it. I think we need to talk about these things. There's a lot of Christians that are stuck in that bubble, and it drives me nuts. That, I mean, I kind of grew up in that bubble. It's very confused.
Oh, I definitely did.
As I got older and started learning more about the Bible and understanding it a little bit more, I had a lot of brainwashing that I had to get worked out because
sometimes you just gotta unlearn stuff.
You do,
and there's nothing wrong with that because our journey with God is it's changing. Like you have to face mountains and valleys, and if it's the same thing constantly, then that's not much of a journey. You know,
great comment from I know who it is because the live line. But if you go on your phone, you see, I'll just say intern. How's that? There are plenty of K-Love stations. We need you guys for you guys. So, and I think that's why we do what we do, because there are plenty of that, and we need to be a light, man. And Nighthawk chimed in on the live line and said, we need to be in the world, not of it. And we're definitely engaging culture.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important thing.
I enjoy watching TV. I enjoy watching movies. I enjoy playing video games. I enjoy
Sinner.
Hanging out with my family.
I enjoy going to a nice restaurant. I enjoy hanging out with friends and just having a good time. I enjoy dancing.
What?
Oh, no. Gosh.
Did you just dance?
I did.
Please do it again. That was wonderful. Thank you.
That's all I have to do. Great. Boom. Danced.
That was solid, man.
338-3700. Man, we got to get to this Kelly Ripa stuff.
We're never going to get to it. No.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
What is up? Hey, I want to Jesus you to you a little bit, too.
Good.
On a fanboy issue. Tell McGregor to just go ahead and be submissive to his boss, you know.
Ooh, yeah. I'm not going to tell Colin or whatever. I'm not telling him anything because he'll punch me in the face.
It is a tough place. You know what I mean? Because I agree. I am such a fan of Conor McGregor, but you're right. It's a wonder what's happening with that dude right now. But in the industry they're in, I mean, this guy who was crass and rude and disrespectful, I almost feel like this is the boss's fault. I looked to Dana White and the people
he created
in the
UFC.
Monster. He did. Because guess what? The last three pay-per-views that made the most money in the universe for the UFC were all Conor McGregor fights.
He made over $400 million for the UFC.
He has made them so much money with not only his fists, but his mouth. Because he went out there and he got flashy and he's like, I'm Conor McGregor, I'll fight whoever I want. I'm going to do whatever I want. And Dana's like, yes, feeding this monster of like, you just be you, rebel. You just do whatever you want. But the second that rebellion didn't conform to what Dana White wanted, it was like, oh no.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the boss.
Yeah. Well, when the boss created something, it's kind of, I mean, sometimes you can be told, hey, this is where we're going. This is what we want. This is what we want to do. And then all of a sudden it gets out of control and the boss didn't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you do? Do you blame Conor McGregor? What do you do?
Okay. We're going to have to hold off on the Kelly Ripa news.
I was just hoping because I just wanted to, I want to interview Shonda Rhonda.
When we come back, Neville.
That's it, Neville.
Prince's bus driver on the musicology tour.
Neville
will
Shinde!
Be joining us.
Purple rain.
Ow. Hang out with us.
Purple rain.
The Morning Invasion on Star 88.
Your attention, please. We'll be right back.
All is well. We're back with the Morning Invasion on Star 88.
Hey! What's going on in the news today?
I am thrilled for you. Kelly Ripa and Michael Strahan back together on Live for the first time since his surprise announcement. A fraud case against Trump University will go to trial.
Johnny Manziel has been indicted.
Voters in five more states head to the polls.
JetBlue, Southwest, and Alaska Airlines get the highest ratings from travelers.
British officials have announced they will silence the great clock bell known as Big Ben. In January, they'll start 3 years of restoration work on the tower.
No one expects the Fed to raise rates, but that doesn't make its meeting unimportant.
Severe thunderstorms in the central plains. Some of the affected states include Oklahoma, Nebraska, Iowa, and Missouri.
Nine a.m. Amor Sierra from Miami will be on the show. She'll be in studio. She's got a great testimony. A great story.
Balloons in the air.
Really nice.
She's got a great story.
Making Wednesday seem like it okay. 7:39.
And your kiss, it's the 8 degrees. Guys, we got a Edith Boulevard between Montaño Road and Osuna Road is closed due to a rollover accident. Alternative route, 2nd Street closure is from Muscatel to Vineyard.
No way.
Yeah, rollover accident, pretty crazy. I don't know how to pronounce most of the names, but it's Montaño Road, Edith Boulevard between Montaño and Osuna.
Ah,
watch out for that.
Traffic!
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah,
oh boy.
There he is. And coming out from the woodwork.
Nah, and my voice is a little weird, man. I think it's all this dust and stuff. I'm losing it. I don't know what. It doesn't hurt. I'm not sick. It just sounds crazy. But
don't lose your voice. We need you.
I got a question for you guys.
Got an answer.
Have you guys seen the stories that Kevin Smith gives about his dealings with Prince?
Yes. It's incredible.
Yeah, I watched it yesterday. Me and my son watched it probably like maybe 6 months ago, somewhere around there. And then with all this happening, it's just crazy.
It is crazy.
We went back, and me and my wife and my son watched it yesterday, and we watched a few interviews on Larry King Live. But the Kevin Smith one is insane.
What did he say?
Prince calls up Kevin Smith. And correct me if I'm wrong, because it's been a couple years since I listened to like Kevin Smith's podcast about it or whatever.
Yeah.
But Prince calls up.
Is it the same one at Kent University, Kent State?
Yes, yes, it's
okay,
that.
Okay, okay, okay.
So he calls up Kevin Smith, and he's like,
Kevin Smith, the director,
yes.
And Kevin Smith, the Silent Bob. Kevin
Smith? Silent Bob, okay. Yes.
He wanted him to direct a movie about, he wanted to make a movie with him.
A documentary.
Yes. Was it about, his tour or something?
It was about his tour, and he wanted people to listen to the album. He wanted reactions. He wanted all that, and he wanted Kevin Smith to do it, man.
Yeah. And so he goes out there, and it's just, I don't want to ruin it. It's so crazy. The amount of control.
Listening and you guys in the studio, you guys watch it, man.
Yeah. The amount of control that Prince has over every single aspect of his life.
It's 31 minutes long, so, but it's well worth it.
It's insane.
It's all about that.
But then it basically ends with, it's like, oh, well, cool. Where's the documentary?
Yeah.
They got done?
Yep.
Never
that is
heard
insane,
anything
the
about it.
That he has, he made 50 choreographed, costumed out videos that nobody has ever seen.
Yeah.
Nobody, it's a nutty story. I know he throws a little bit of jokes in there and stuff like that, but I'm thinking that most of it is pretty right on.
Yeah, there's some rough language because it's Kevin Smith, but it's just insane. It's basically like you could not tell Prince no if you told him no.
You guys gotta ask this guy about the documentary.
Okay, right, we'll ask him.
We're gonna ask him. We're calling him up here
right now.
Thanks, bud.
All right, with Kevin Smith. All right, I love you guys, man.
Love you. Yeah, so we get the opportunity to talk to Prince's bus driver. He was the bus driver for Prince. Back when Prince did his Musicology tour, Prince even gave him a purple Harley at one point as a gift.
Neville Longbottom.
Neville speaking.
Hey, Neville, how are you? It's Dex, Steve-O, and Teo in Albuquerque.
What's that?
How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Show.
Yeah, thanks so much for being on.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
So, talk about what year was it that you were Prince's bus driver?
Well, I was his personal driver on his Starbus in 2004 for the Musicology tour.
Okay.
In its entirety, 8 months of driving Prince. And originally, I thought I was just taking him, from the venue to the airport or airport to hotel and then catching up. And what ended up happening in the tour, he got very comfortable, I guess, with the bus and the driving and just basically pretty much lived on it.
Wow.
Within the 8 months that we were there, he would drive, 600-mile drives. He'd be on the bus 8, 9, 10 hours. And I asked him one time, I told him, I thought I was really going to just take you, sit in the jump seat and we'd have conversations on the long trips. And he basically explained to me, it was like, if I get there and took the plane, I'd get there early. People would call me. I'd get bugged. He said, this way I have my space.
Yeah.
And I get it because, if he needed to call anyone, he would use my cell phone or the security guard's phone. And he would be able to have his own private time.
Wow. Seems like he was a very private person, right? He didn't really like to be out in the spotlight?
He was quietly reserved, but, he was a little somewhat eccentric, but a heart of gold. One of the most beautiful people I've actually had the pleasure of driving. And I've driven a number of stars, Alicia Keys, Ronnie James Dio, bless him. A number of different artists. Along my route, I'm now in management, so I'm still with the same company, but I moved into management. But in my tenure of driving, I would have to say that Prince was probably the most professional. And when it came to his craft, I've never seen someone put in such a strong work ethic and thought into it. I could give you an example. It's like every single show on the entire Musicology run, the front of house guy would burn DVD of the audio and the video, and he would run it to my bus. And this is like this, before the show even, the show's just finished, and he's burning this. Runs it over to me, and the girl set up his food in the front lounge, and I would put in the DVD, cue it up, put the remote on the table by his food, and have it basically already set on play. So all he had to do was hit the pause button to unpause it, and he would watch the show. And the thing is, he would watch the show that he just performed, especially in the first couple of months, through the entirety. So we would not leave the venue until he watched it, and if he saw some spots that he needed to critique other musicians on or front of house guys or whatever, he would get the security to go get the guy, and they would come on the bus. And then, of course, I would leave because that's personal conversation. And then during, you know, further through the show, he would fast forward to specific parts, and he would take notes. Like, there would be tons of notes on the table of different spots where he would either want to tweak or change. Or, and to me, that is, I've never seen an artist do that through the entirety of an entire tour. And it, I was privileged enough to see the evolution of show one to the very last show and see how it evolved and how perfection got even more perfect. It was amazing.
It's, you know, we talked about this a little bit, Teo. You mentioned, you know, you heard that Prince, he had such high standards of perfection when it came to performing live. How many people did you see get fired through that year?
Oh, I'm not answering that one. You can imagine.
I've heard he had a three strike and you're out rule.
I can't answer that, but I can tell you they're I'm very astute to energy. Very spiritual man myself, and that was where Prince got, and I got into some good conversations, because he was spiritual, he was a religious man, and if I could, if the energy felt really like heavy, the security guy and I would just look at each other and go, "Oh, we're off the bus." So he's like, "Okay, we're gonna go stand over here."
That's amazing. We're talking with Neville. How do you pronounce your last name?
It's Shendi. Shendi.
And Neville, you were Prince's bus driver back in 2004 during his Musicology tour, and man, talking about, you know, how he was this amazing person. He had such a good heart, and you know, he looked for that perfection in every performance, and he wanted to make sure that the fans really got what they paid for. And what was it like? Did you get to go and watch every show?
I saw I would say I saw pretty much every show, because like with a star artist or star driver, usually what happens is we'll go to the hotel, and that's when I get my rest. And then if we're going for sound check, I'm basically transporting him to the venue, and there's no sense going back to the hotel. So I would be around, and that's what I was saying. It was extremely interesting to see the evolution of the show that I was able to see. I wanted to say, you know, you said he was hard on perfection. I would have to say he had a vision. He was eccentrically talented to the sense that he had this vision of what he knew or what he saw that the performance needed to look like or sound like. And it's that vision, and you've seen it, we're all talking about it, of how talented he was and how other people and other musicians, it doesn't matter what genre you're in, were inspired by him. If you look at his videos, I've just been archiving, looking at some of the videos, you know, like when he was with Sheryl Crow and he did that Long Winding Road, or when he did the My Guitar Gently Weeps. Anything he did, he lived it. He lives those performances. He's in there. It's almost like Jimi Hendrix. Like, you watch Jimi Hendrix live. When Jimi Hendrix lived inside those notes. Prince lived inside his songs. And even if it was someone else's song, when he's performing, he's in it. It's like Goosebump City.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, Neville, thank you so much for taking the time with us. Being a Christian station here, I love talking about the spiritual aspects of anyone, and we talk about this a lot, actually, here on our station, the idea of being created in the image of this incredible God, yes. right? And the idea right. that everyone has a different calling. We've all been called by God to do mm-hmm. incredible things. And obviously, as you say, Prince had a vision, and he inspired people. And I believe we all have this ability within us that God has crafted us for this thing. And when we find whatever that purpose is that God has created us for, that's when we can shine the most and when we can pour yep. that out. How much did his faith, did his spirituality have to do with, man, his craft as a musician and just everything you got to see behind the scenes?
I think it had everything to do with it. Like, you know, when he first started, God wasn't in his spirit. Like, right. God's always in your spirit, but he wasn't aware. And at one point, I believe it somewhere along the line, prior to me meeting him, you know, obviously he met Jehovah, was introduced to that. He had his Bible with him all the time. I actually took him to Jehovah Witness meetings with the bus, and we would sit down, and I would, you know, he'd share his Bible with me. I would actually go to these meetings. I'm not a Jehovah Witness. I'm actually a baptized Roman Catholic Christian,
yeah.
and that's my upbringing. And I am, you know, I read my Bible every day. In fact, this morning I was reading Matthew. But the fact of the matter is it did have everything to do with where he was in 2004, and I believe where he was when he passed.
Yeah.
Man, because he definitely was walking a strong road of faith.
I'm so glad you brought that up because, when we got the news, he's one of my favorite. Oh, gosh. Yeah. I mean, he's an icon. You know, it's Prince. And, you know, we talk about it, and then you get the comments from people that, why are we spending time on Prince? Why are we talking about this person?
Right.
He was a Jehovah's Witness. And then, you know, and then you want to get into, like, the differences and the cult aspects and all that. Talk a little bit about the fact that as a Catholic, as a follower of Jesus Christ for you, mm-hmm. man, being able to love on Prince and talk about those discussions that you guys had as far as faith discussions.
It was interesting. I'll give you one funny story, and this was a fun, because I was taking this $1 million bus into these Jehovah Witness halls, and it wasn't easy to navigate sometimes because of the trees, and you know they're big, they're 45 feet, 11 feet tall, mm-hmm. so trying to navigate it in wasn't always easy. But I understood that it was so important to him. You know, that this is what we do. If we have time and there's no show, you know, on a Saturday we go to a witness meeting. And, the one thing I will say about the congregation there, they were highly respectable of Prince and left him alone. Hmm. No one, he never, anytime he went in, there was no bombardment with crowds or anything. It was just he had his space. I loved that. It was a great thing to experience. But, and another story, this one's funny. We were in Boston, and we were going to the venue, and he had some Watchtower magazines on the bus in a big box, and he asked me to stop. And I stopped, like, literally in the middle of a four-lane road at a stoplight, put on the hazards, and he decided to get out and hand out witness magazines. Wow. And it was really funny because people are honking, and then they realize it's Prince, and there's this big crowd gathers around, and his security guard's there. And then I, at the time, I was in pretty good shape, so I doubled as another security guy.
Yeah.
And I remember these people going, hey, can you sign my Watchtower magazine? And Prince's response was classic. He went, read it first. And then he
oh, man. Yeah, I've actually, there's been some stories that have come out, people are just chilling at home, and all of a sudden, doorbell rings, and they open the door, and it's Prince, you know, and, you know, he goes in and has, you know, a 30-minute conversation with these people, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. That's so cool, and, you know, I'm so sorry for your loss, you know, you spent some time with him, and I'm sure it had to have been pretty heartbreaking.
He wasn't beautiful. I saw him. The last time I saw him, I was driving Alicia Keys in a Star bus, and he came to Alicia's show, and the bus was parked underneath, and I remember getting off the bus, and a limo came in, and then I saw Prince, and of course, we had a few words. And later that evening, when we're leaving, Alicia gets on the bus, and I kind of looked at her, and I go, you know, I used to drive Prince, and she smiles at me, and she goes, I know, he told me.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
That's really, man, you need to write a book, Neville.
Yeah, I could, but the book's still being written, trust me. I live my life, I'm managing 35 buses. Our biggest client right now is Dave Matthews. We have a multitude of different other artists. And,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the book's still going.
That's awesome, that's man. Great, just man. Keep living that book, yeah, man.
Thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's, sharing those stories. Yeah. And good luck.
Well, y'all stay blessed and stay true to the path, and we'll all be good.
All right. Amen, man.
Thanks, Neville.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks, see you, man.
Take
Later.
Care.
Great day.
God bless. Bye.
God bless you, too.
That is Neville. He was Prince's bus driver back in 2004 on his Musicology tour. Sounds like, you know, from everybody that we've, you know, all the stories we've read, all the news reports have come out, that Prince just, he was a good guy. He had a good heart, and he had that standard of perfection.
It's interesting to me, too, because Jehovah's Witnesses are known throughout mainline Christianity, it's known as a cult.
Oh, yeah.
The dude that kicked it all off wrote his own version of the Bible, and that's the one they read from.
Right.
But the thing is, you look at the dedication. Stopping a bus in the middle of a highway so he could get out because he felt like that's what he needed to do.
Yeah.
So if I could quote Jesus juke this situation.
Yeah.
If you want to be edified, we got a message. Somebody's like, you guys need to think about what you're talking about because you guys aren't edifying the body. But the thing is, if you want to be edified, take this from this conversation. That dude was in a cult, and he was so dedicated to the causes of what they were doing that it would interrupt his day at any moment, and he would just go do it.
Right.
As a Christian, I cannot say that I'm that dedicated, and that's challenging to me, it'll be challenging to you.
Imagine, because we're talking about Prince, and as we think about him going door to door, because we always shudder when we think about J-Dubs or you know, Mormons going door to door, and it gets frustrating at times, and you see all the materials they have. You're right. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought of was the fact that we usually will just sit on the show and, like, not mock.
It really makes
you
think about it.
Yeah.
It's like, man, we are lazy. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, nobody in here is proclaiming Prince's faith in the Jesus Christ we serve, because...
It's time for the Morning Invasion. Here's Dex, Steve-O, and Teo on Star 88.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Thanks for being with us. Sure do appreciate you guys.
I mean, you know.
Love y'all guys out there. Appreciate your hearts. Just really appreciating you this morning. Bless them.
505-585-LIVE. That's our text line. Text the show.
Yeah. We got a great word of encouragement from Troy, Michigan, that says, please don't listen to the Christian naysayers. They're all a bunch of poopy heads.
Wow.
Thanks, Michigan.
Wow. I apologize for the offensive language.
Call him that. That's not
Michigan?
Nice.
Yes, sorry. I'm sorry he had to bring that up, everyone. Just go about your day.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up
here in a little bit, Amor Sierra.
Amor.
Our friend from Miami, she's in town. She'll be cruising by the Morning Invasion.
Yeah, she will.
Hang out with us. She's got such a great story.
If you want to be challenged and really just hear one of the most incredible stories, like testimonies, you need to stick around and listen to Amor. Seriously. It's powerful.
It is. 8:05.
High today of 68 degrees.
Don't forget, guys, Edith Boulevard between Montaño Road and Osuna Road is closed due to a rollover accident. It's a big mess out there. Watch out for that. Also, typical morning time congestion on 40 eastbound, all the way from the Central Avenue exit to about Coors. Bit of congestion around Paseo and 25 southbound. You guys look out for that. That's your look at traffic.
Just a big mess out there.
Just a big old mess.
Kelly Ripa returned to Live with Kelly and Michael yesterday. And instead of ignoring the circus surrounding Michael Strahan's departure, she tackled it head on. Here's how it went down. Kelly and Michael walked out hand in hand, which felt a little awkward. Kelly started the show by standing in front of the crowd and giving a speech about the whole fiasco.
They didn't cut away from her, even when she addressed Michael, which was strange, and she didn't really make any excuses.
Guys, 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 our long national nightmare is over. Please, sit down, please, please, be seated.
No, please, guys.
I am not, I'm going to be completely honest. I'm fairly certain that there are trained professional snipers with tranquilizer darts in case I drift too far off message. Okay. I first want to honestly, sincerely thank you for welcoming me back to this show.
Good to have you back, Kelly.
The love, the show of support through this bizarre time has been really overwhelming. I needed a couple of days to gather my thoughts. After 26 years with this company, I earned the right. And let's be honest, I know half of you called in sick to be here, so we get each other.
Yeah, we do, we do. If you're just tuning in and you don't really know.
So excited about Kelly Rifkin.
What is going on, maybe? Michael Strahan and Kelly, they've been doing this show for many, many years. Yeah. And this is the great chemistry. Ratings are good. Mm-hmm. And then Michael Strahan gets this job offer out of the blue from Good Morning America, which is on the same channel,
yeah,
same network. And he takes the job without discussing it with Kelly, his job wife. Mm. And of course, Kelly, she reacted the way that anybody would have reacted. She was upset and decided, I'm not going back to work. I'm going on vacation. I'll see you guys later.
Well, allegedly, she already had that vacation planned.
Allegedly, come on.
Well, I mean, it could be.
She moved the vacation up because...
Well, I mean, you don't know that. She could have been on vacation. True. You know how hard it is to move a vacation up, well, change the
probably,
dates?
Probably
remember
not
when
that
we
hard.
Were, remember when we were in December talking about how we were launching the show at the beginning of January, and then I went, hey, guys, remember how I'm going to be in Disneyland at the beginning of January?
Oh, I remember that.
And how I even tried to move my family vacation so that we could launch the show on the new year. It was going to be so much money.
Well, mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't have that Kelly Ripa money.
Yeah, she's a millionaire.
So maybe she didn't move her
vacation. She's a millionaire. Kelly, here she is talking about, saying that her vacation was planned.
So this is the strange timing about all of this. Like, I took a day to sort of process, but we had a trip planned. People think that we're making all of that up. It's true. We had a trip planned for a long time, my husband and I, to celebrate our 20th wedding anniversary.
Dude, 20th wedding anniversary, come on.
Okay, fine.
Oh, wow. It's just coincidence that their 20th wedding anniversary. Yeah, right.
Let me play just this last clip here. This is her just talking about, kind of what we were talking about. It's a respect thing. Mm-hmm. That's what it comes down to. Michael Strahan should have come to her first before he accepted the offer for Good Morning America out of respect.
So what transpired, though, over the course of a few days has been extraordinary in the sense that it started a much greater conversation about communication and consideration and, most importantly, respect in the workplace. And since we're being honest, I don't consider this just a workplace. This is my second home. This is a place that I've devoted myself to, not just because of you, our loyal viewers, but because of all of the producers and the crew who work on this show. We have an incredible team. We are incredibly devoted to one another. We are family. Apologies have been made, and the best thing to come out of all of this, you guys, is that our parent company has assured me that live is a priority.
Did you get that in writing, Kelly?
Yeah,
did
right?
you get that in writing?
Yeah, for real.
And then she goes on to talk about the whole respect thing. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about just for a second. Maybe you are at a job right now. And maybe thinking about jumping ship. Maybe that other job across the street looking a little better.
Hit it, Aretha!
Well.
Where's the music?
R-E-S-P-C.
Thank you.
Man.
Been perfect. R-E-S-P-C.
If you work closely with people at your job, out of respect, you need to have that conversation with them. You need to communicate. And that's hard. Communication's tough. I get it. You know, people don't like to walk across to the other cubicle and communicate. I get it. But you got to. Because then if you don't, it's going
to
be a mess. It's going to be a mess. You got to communicate, Dale.
Nope.
Now, after the four-minute speech, Michael thanked Kelly and complimented her. Neither of them looked particularly comfortable. And even though Kelly said she's thrilled for him, it's clear, well, come on. Is it genuine? Is it? I don't know.
I mean, come on. We can't.
She's, well, you can tell she's frustrated.
Of course.
Now, when I was watching, this is the best part of it. The best part of the whole hour was when Michael told Kelly, quote, "I'm right down the street if you need me." And the look on her face was almost like, yeah, right. That's not going to happen.
Oh,
it was
awesome.
Really awkward. There was some very awkward, uncomfortable moments.
Well, yeah, because there were rumors that she had been offered a spot on Good Morning America and never took it because this was her show. And, you know, Good Morning America is like the jam. It's the morning show. It's the time. It's the peak. And yet she never took it because she was dedicated to this. And all of a sudden, this dude that she brought in, that she kind of trained up, that she helped, is like, peace, I'm out.
Yeah.
But it's hard because on the flip side, imagine being Michael Strahan. You're a football player who started on Fox's NFL Sunday morning show being like, guys, I seriously think we should talk about some things about
the
football.
Why are you talking like that?
And it was great. And then he gets this opportunity to go to live, and he's like, this is amazing. And he's interviewing the stars, and he's like really excited about it and stuff, and it's so great. All of a sudden, you get the call that like, hey, we're sending you up to the bigs. You're gonna do Good Morning America. What do you do? I mean, come on.
This is what you do, Steve-O. You say, awesome. I am so thrilled. I'm so excited. I'm considering the job, yes, but give me some time. I need to go talk to my family and, you know, Kelly. You don't even have to mention Kelly's name. Yeah. I need to take some time to talk to my family about it. And then while you're taking that time, you take that time to call or sit down with your job wife, Kelly, and explain, hey, Good Morning America, just offered this. I want to take it.
That is respectful as a friend.
Yeah, that's true.
And as a family member. That's what you would do. And so I actually saw a thing where it was saying it wasn't his responsibility to do it, like, I guess, quote, legally or whatever. Then the higher-ups in the company should have had to inform Kelly Ripa of their intentions.
Yeah.
But honestly, on a friendship level.
Yeah.
He should have gone to her and said, hey, I just got this opportunity, and I'd really like to take it.
Man, you know? All right. You guys have convicted me.
Do it.
I got to tell you something.
What's up?
All right. Friday is going to be it for me.
What?
You know,
it's
I got
always
a call.
Friday.
I got a call from Chaz Malibu, Big 98.5.
I knew it.
He's tired of doing the show alone. He wanted a co-host. He originally was asking me, he called me to ask for your number, Teo, because he knows you're such a fan of Big 98.5 and just, you know, classic hits like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what do you need it for? And he started talking about how you wanted to offer
Is this a
you
joke?
A spot on the morning show. And I was like, well, wait, man. And I started telling him how I'm more qualified and like I've been in radio longer and
well,
all this stuff.
It makes sense.
And so, yeah. Starting Monday, guys.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, you think that's funny, huh?
I know.
Yeah, that's real funny.
I know you think I'm joking now. Guys, this is real. I'm telling you really because we're friends now. I wanted to give you guys 48 hours notice.
Well, I didn't want to tell you guys this.
Oh, wait.
But in the spirit of confession.
Okay.
Steve-O being convicted.
Yeah.
Well, I got a call from Ron Ketty's people.
No, what?
I did, and they said, look.
Caracuey.
They said, what's the deal? And I said, I just don't trust him as a weatherman. And then they said, well, here's the thing. We just feed him his information. He doesn't know what he's doing. And we saw a picture of you, and you are way better looking.
Yeah.
Than
yeah, that's no, that is very true.
Rosy cheeks
true.
Are out.
Yeah, yeah.
Incredible hair is in.
Yeah.
And so they said, we need you to just consider this. And I said, look, I don't know if I'm the man for the job. I don't have a lot of experience. I think I'm a good weatherman, but it's probably just a pride issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Stemming back from when I was terrified of tornadoes and I watched Jim Cantore every day
when
I was
14.
No, it's real.
And so they said, look, we don't care. We don't care. All we care about is that you're here with us.
Mm,
and
wow.
So then I used my clout here at the Morning Invasion to negotiate a quadrupled pay raise for myself.
Wow.
Which means I will be making about 12 grand a year.
Yeah.
I'm so excited
about
it.
That's huge.
And I am just stoked.
You think you'll be able to like restart that Netflix subscription with this new salary?
The forecast is sunny times for this guy.
Wow, okay. That's great. So starting Monday, man, the Morning Invasion with Dex.
And I am sad because you guys are leaving.
Yeah.
The Morning Invasion, but I'm also happy for you, and I thank you for doing it. Doing it right now.
Yeah, 48 hours right notice. I feel like that's all we need.
We just wanted to tell you personally where, you know, it was just us and kind of like a secret scenario,
friends,
like friendship.
So. Yeah, because you want to tell your friends and your family, and our family is the Starmie. So we thought we'd tell you at the same time as we're telling the Starmie.
Well, I actually have some news to share.
What is it?
I was approached by my... Uncle George.
Uncle George.
What? Uncle George lives in San Diego. He has a fishing boat, and he said, "You know what? Why don't you just come down? I need a first mate."
Whoa.
I said, "That sounds pretty cool." All right. Well, let me get back to you because I need to talk to my friends and family first.
Yeah.
Man, I appreciate
so I
that.
Wanted to, you know, before I accept the job, I wanted to talk to you guys about it. I'll probably be leaving the Morning Invasion sometime this afternoon.
Wow.
That was really fast.
Wow. I know.
The fishing's hot right now. I got to fly out as soon as possible.
Hang on just a second. What? I just got an email. Oh, this is interesting.
Oh, no.
I just got an offer. From the New England Patriots.
No way!
Apparently, they need a quarterback.
That's crazy.
And so I just emailed him back, and I said, "Guys, I don't even play football. I'm not in that kind of shape. I mean, I do the CrossFit, but I don't do the football." And they said, "It doesn't matter. It's all scripted. We just feed you all the information you need."
That's incredible.
Look, next season, you're going to win. Like, you're going to win the Super Bowl. You're going to get tons of endorsements. The next season after that, you're going to kind of dial it back, but then you're going to come back for a return Super Bowl win the next season. And so it's pretty much mapped out for, like, the next 10 years. It says years 6 through 10 are kind of, you know, like they're tentative right now. But we've got an outline.
That's good.
So it's pretty good. Did you guys know that Disney owns the NFL? That's incredible.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So pretty cool. So I guess I just wanted to tell you guys. I'm probably just going to go be that.
Update, guys. I just got a text from Chaz, who's listening right now while he's doing his morning show, Chaz Malibu. Turns out he's so sad that you guys are leaving that he said they are going to pay me twice as much to just stay here and do the Morning Invasion solo. So it looks like I'm back. I'm back.
That's pretty cool.
So I'm going to stay. So I'm not leaving. Twice as much money just to stay.
Hold on a second. What? Oh, I just got offered to be on this next season of Deadliest Catch.
What?
Apparently, they're fans of the Morning Invasion, and they just heard me talking about flying out
how confused people are right now.
Fishing, and they said, "Well, you know what? We would want you to work on the fishing boat, so I'm going to be on the next season of Deadliest Catch." I'm going to be on TV.
That's incredible.
Amazing.
I just got an email from both the Republican and Democratic National Conventions, and they want me to be the president.
Oh, my gosh.
They said, "We don't know if you've seen these two knuckleheads we got that are probably going to get the nominations, but hey, come do it for us." And I guess I just got
to
do it.
You have to.
Dude, I feel like...
be great.
I've already decided. Beans is going to be my vice president, and Panda is going to be Secretary of the Treasury because she's a girl.
Okay.
Oh, no. I'm getting word from Hillary's people. She just heard you announce that.
How did she?
She listens to the Morning Invasion.
Oh, my
God. And she said that the only way to counter you is with a super ticket. Guys, I'd like to announce my running as vice president alongside Hillary. Hillary Stephen. I'm going to have to convert to Democraticism.
I don't know if I can support that.
Oh my gosh.
You know, guys, I just, sorry, man.
I just realized something.
May the best woe man win.
Woe man?
Yeah, because I was going to say let the best man win, but I don't want you and Trump to win.
Trump's not part of my ticket.
Oh, it's just you as president?
No, it's me and Beans.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I wasn't listening.
I got to say, vice president-wise, Beans is more qualified than Steve-O.
Oh, wow.
He's incredible, right, though.
He is amazing. That cat poops in a box.
He does.
So,
he's got it under control.
In one spot. It's like he knows where he's going.
Well, just to let you guys know, all of our
you know, listeners in the Starmie.
Sorry, yeah.
This will be our last show. This is all real.
Yeah.
Today's all real.
This is it.
And thank you for being a part of it.
Shout out to Britt, who is listening right now. Our girl B-Flo, or Kobe. She has no idea what we're talking about because she just tuned in halfway. Bless and you, everyone B-Flo. Is confused.
Well, let me just recap for a second.
Okay. Yes.
I just got an offer.
No. You got to recap the whole thing. Start with Kelly Ripa. The whole thing.
Okay.
Be a good host.
Do it.
Please recount everything we've said.
I don't
go.
Wait, we just got a phone call. You should.
I'll recount
totally
it.
Take advantage
well, it
of that.
Started with Kelly Ripa and the idea of respect. And telling you,
you turn it off. That's wonderful.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, can I call dibs on the next empty spot for the morning show host?
Yeah,
you can have it.
You got it.
We were the first call. It's yours.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Dream come true.
All right.
See you guys later.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Well, you won't. We'll be gone.
Yeah, we won't be here.
We just got a text on the live line from Nicolas Cage saying that if any of us leave the morning invasion, they will steal the Declaration of Independence.
Oh. Can't do it. Beans has it under control.
So, there we
no
go.
No kidding.
VP Beans. Locks. Yeah.
All right, since this is our last show, let's just settle down and let's continue what we were supposed to do.
Okay, fine. It's boring, but that's fine.
People are losing their minds, guys. We're not going anywhere.
Hey,
we're
not
time spent listening. TSL, dog.
What is foreign policy?
I'm going to be on the next season of Deadliest Catch.
No,
I just got
not.
An email and they said, "What's your foreign policy?" And I'm like, I don't know.
You got people that take care of that.
You love sushi.
You're the face.
I only know the
that
policies that aren't foreign to me. Yeah. I don't know.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I mean, I got an offer for you guys.
Oh, perfect.
You know, you guys did such a good job at the Rock and Worship Roadshow. I want you guys to put on a tribute tour for all the artists that have passed away.
Ooh.
Double your pay of the NFL.
Okay, right. Double our NFL pay. I'll do it.
Okay.
All of the artists.
Back. Talk about it.
Okay.
Don't make a decision right now.
Okay.
Give me a call back.
Talk to our
have
family.
A good day.
Yeah.
Yo,
all right, you too.
Yo,
dude, a tribute show to all of the artists that have passed. Like, all of them.
Every single
don't think
one.
I might
every
take that Deadliest Catch job.
We're
going
to have to
good.
Take
that's
the in memoriams from the Grammys for the last 80 years and go back and try and we'll get it going. It'll be a medley, a three-piece, if you will. We can do it.
Can we just give B-Flo the morning show?
Yes.
Morning show with B-Flo.
Yeah.
Beef flow?
Beef low. Like, keep the beef
like
low.
Kobe beef low.
Like, don't fight with people. Keep
gotcha.
The beef low.
Oh, wait. I got a phone call from the Deadliest Catch. I have to go to break, guys, because I have to talk to my people.
Oh, we got to teach you how to swim, buddy.
Got that. That's
coming
right.
up, the latest app that's trying to kill you.
Oh, yes. Can't wait.
Yeah.
And, do you hug your dog?
I love my dog.
You think your dog...
I just want to love him and hug him
and you think your dog
him.
Likes it when you hug him?
Yeah, he does. I hug him every day.
Well, we're going to find out if your dog actually loves hugs. Hang out with us.
The Morning Invasion on Star 88.
We're going to take a break and come right back.
We'll be right back.
In its earliest days, the major function of radio was news. News was the warp and woof of life. But with this contribution came a bonus. Entertainment.
Sing that Steve Perry again.
Don't stop believing. Oh,
oh. There it is.
Come on now.
Good.
They tell us radio is dead, but this isn't entirely true. It is gone, all right, but it isn't dead.
I just love to sing, guys. I just love it.
Because with us, it's all about harmony. Harmony. Yeah.
Radio lives on in our minds and hearts because part of our national heritage was formed when radio was king.
Hey, what's going on in the news today?
I am thrilled for you.
Kelly Ripa and Michael Strahan back together on Live for the first time since his surprise announcement. A fraud case against Trump University will go to trial.
Johnny Manziel has been indicted.
Voters in five more states head to the polls.
JetBlue, Southwest, and Alaska Airlines get the highest ratings from travelers.
British officials have announced they will silence the great clock bell known as Big Ben. In January, they'll start 3 years of restoration work on the tower.
No one expects the Fed to raise rates, but that doesn't make its meeting unimportant.
Severe thunderstorms in the central plains. Some of the affected states include Oklahoma, Nebraska, Iowa, and Missouri.
Hey, buddy. 836.
High today of 68 degrees.
We've got this podcast.
This podcast called The Morning Invasion.
What?
Yeah, it's on iTunes. It's on Google Play. It's at star88.fm.
Congratulations! That is so exciting for you!
You guys can download it. Listen to it whenever you want. The whole show minus the music.
Wait, the music's not there? Never mind.
You want the music?
So stoked for you.
You can stream us live. Got that app, Star 88 app. You can download right to your smartphone.
All about that app, yo!
Traffic. Nah, who cares? It doesn't matter anyway.
I need to learn to not take drinks of water when Teo speaks.
There's a rollover accident. Edith Boulevard between Montaño Road and Osuna Road. A lot of congestion on 25 southbound after you hit Paseo. There's an accident at Indian School Road in Carlisle. It's a multi-car wreck, so expect restrictions and a little bit of delay. Venture look at traffic.
Traffic!
Coming up around 9, Amor Sierra. She'll be joining us in studio. She's from Miami. She owns this tattoo shop down in Miami, and she has this incredible story of God's love and redemption. And she's doing some great things to help get women that are trapped in the sex trafficking industry out and safe. I mean, yeah. she's doing some great things. So we're going to talk to her coming up around 9 o'clock. Steve-O, you have an app that's killing people?
Well, let me just tell you, this is an app that I'm sure a lot of people have. I actually don't have this app. Didn't know.
Is it called
you could do stuff like this?
What's it called?
But apparently there's an app out there that's trying to murder souls.
What?
And we need to stop it now.
How does it even know where the soul is?
I don't know. But there's like a cool upgrade on it. It's only like 99 cents more. Wow. It actually slowly sucks a piece of your soul out. Yeah. Yeah. That's not true. However, what is true is the fact that a car accident victim is now suing an app. In fact, blaming said app for a crash that left him with traumatic brain injuries. He is going to have to rock a wheelchair for the rest of his life. Due to Snapchat. I was waiting for like the creepy, like when I said it was going to be like, you know, like Snapchat.
Snapchat?
It's not a predictable sound.
It was supposed to be like, and I was going to be like, ah! Who produces this show?
Snapchat is... What? They're suing Snapchat?
Snapchat tried to kill human beings.
No, yes. They did not.
No, it's true. It's true. I read it on CNN.
So talk about it again. What happened? This person was driving.
Here's what happened. Victim of a car accident. They're suing Snapchat after his Mitsubishi was rear-ended by a Mercedes that was going 107 miles an hour. The reason behind it is why they're suing Snapchat. The plaintiff, Wentworth Maynard, was struck so violently the car shot across the left lane and into the left embankment. The driver of the speeding Mercedes, Crystal McGee, told police that she wanted to post an image of herself going fast, and she was just trying to get the car to 100 miles an hour to post on Snapchat.
You gotta be kidding me.
This is a crazy thing. Snapchat has a bunch of filters that allow users to add effects to photos and videos, one of them being a speedometer that tracks speed and records it in a photo or video. McGee, according to a passenger in her car, hit 113 miles per hour on the app before hitting the back of this vehicle.
How are they still
107?
Alive? 107.
No way. I'm glad they're still alive because that's crazy.
Look at the photos.
They can't see it on the radio, Steve.
No, look at it, you photos, people. Look at it, radio.
How are they both still alive?
Good grief. That
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Okay, so Snapchat has a filter.
They have a filter that you, it's like a speedometer, and so you travel. Gosh. And
it's not good.
And it tells you how fast you're going.
That so, like, if you're on an airplane, you're like, I'm on an airplane and it's going 170 miles an hour. Oh my gosh.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
They deserve to get sued.
So, well, what if you're a passenger and you're like, bro, I'm just a passenger?
No. Don't. It's a bad idea.
It is a bad idea.
What's
a terrible idea?
What? Okay. No red flags went up when they said, hey, let's put a function in our app where if somebody's going really fast, they can track their speed. No drivers of cars will ever go fast to use it, ever. It's impossible. Yeah.
Here's the crazy thing. According to the lawsuit, it alleges that Snapchat has been aware of previous accidents caused by using this app while driving at high speeds, and yet the company chooses not to remove the speed filter.
Bad idea.
107 miles an hour into the back of another vehicle. Obviously, Snapchat wasn't involved in the collision, but it...
Or am me.
Is it fair to say that the application caused the accident?
Well, if it was, that feature wasn't around, then this wouldn't have happened.
Because here's the thing. I mean, we have laws here. You're not supposed to be on your phone while you're driving.
It's true.
I got caught
out recently by a cop. Thankfully, they didn't pull me over, but totally like got pointed
gave
at.
Gave
me the phone signal.
Hang it up right now.
And I said, yes, officer.
Obviously, you know, we have technology residing on our dashboard. It's called our radio. It's where, here's what we're doing. We're providing you with morning entertainment, so you never have to change the dial. You never have to like touch anything. You just
change
it. You know, safety measures.
Change it right now.
Yet another reason why the Morning Invasion is the best.
Just change the station.
However, Snapchat, it's built for a device you're not supposed to be using while driving anyway. So that's Snapchat's response, is like, not supposed to be on the app while you're driving anyways.
What if somebody decided to sue us because we made them laugh while they were driving, therefore they crashed their car?
You just gave some dummy an idea.
Yeah, you can sue anybody for anything.
You really can. And now, thinking on the flip side, is this the other Albuquerque case of the lady drinking, like spilling the coffee that was too hot and then suing? But yeah.
She won.
She was from Albuquerque, too.
I mean, is there a little warning on the app that says, do not use while driving? Because I'm betting... That's what's going to happen.
Yeah,
this person's going to win that
case. They're going to win millions.
And then there's going to be a little warning on the thing that says, do not use while driving.
They're going to win millions and millions. Good morning. Yeah. Hello.
Hey, what's up, dudes?
Hey, dude.
Hey, Nate. Hi, what's up, man? Nate the Great.
What's up? Man, I just love the conversation you guys are having. And I was just thinking, I think it brings up a way more political debate as well.
Okay.
So, I mean, you asked, can Snapchat be blamed? Can the app be blamed for the accident? I think it kind of goes into a question of, can a gun manufacturer be blamed for a shooting or for an accident where someone gets harmed or fatally wounded? Is it the gun manufacturer's responsibility, or is it the user and the wielder of the weapon's responsibility?
Yeah, that's true.
That is a good question, because that's true. That's why Tony Stark got out of the weapons building programs in Iron Man 1.
I mean, take a look at it from the...
he took responsibility
as a weapons
builder.
Take a look at it from the very real standpoint of cigarette companies.
Yeah.
They had to put warnings all over the cigarettes.
Yep.
I mean,
everywhere. So, I mean, it's like, you know, it's whose responsibility? Is it the wielders? This is what sparks the whole gun control debate. So is the new thing going to be the app control debate? Like, you know, should only certain people be allowed to download these apps? You know, I mean, I guess it really opens up a much more, a much wider discussion.
Yeah.
And I think it really opens up this idea that if this lady does win this lawsuit for Snapchat, who's to say that somebody can't in the future win a lawsuit to, you know, a gun company, to Glock or to Sig Sauer, and to the gun company when someone that they love or they themselves have been harmed by one of their guns.
Man, it's so ridiculous because clearly, I mean, this isn't my opinion, clearly Crystal McGee, the driver who was responsible for the accident, who was using the app, is at fault. She's the responsible party. And here's the crazy thing. Crystal McGee was going 113 miles an hour, rams into the back of this vehicle, and she's rocking Snapchat. Well, guess what she did shortly thereafter? She snapped another memory on her way to the hospital, covered in blood.
Oh, man.
With the caption, lucky to be alive.
She did?
This is the thing. There's no reason it was crazy. And so I think that, like, but what should be sued is her. I mean, she's obviously the crazy one. Because, I mean, really, if you're going to sue Snapchat, why not sue Mercedes or BMW as well for making cars that can go 113 miles per hour?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we talk about, like, why make an app? You know people are going to use it to show how fast they're going. Why make a car that can go that fast? Because you know people will go that fast in it if they're going to buy that car.
It's true. Right.
So it's like, if you're going to sue Snapchat, then sue Mercedes as well.
Right.
I'm going to sue everybody.
Dude, a Snapchat spokesman said they couldn't comment on the lawsuit, but they did say the app does and has always included a warning not to use this app while driving.
Okay,
so
there you
if it's got that, they have a warning.
They're good.
So
I think they'll be okay, because think about, like, every single navigation unit. There's a bunch of apps. Like, I use an app called Waze for navigation, and that says the same thing. It says, It actually will lock out a warning and not let you use it while you're driving unless you switch it to passenger mode.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So. That's cool. All right,
man. I just thought it was interesting. Thought I'd chime in.
Yeah, no, it's good, man. Thank you. Buddy. Phone lines are jammed. So.
See you, man.
All right, man. Later, dude.
Later, man.
338-3700. Good morning.
Hello, is this Air?
Hello.
Hello, this is Air. Hello.
Did you get my? Have you got my request song ready? I missed last night.
Oh. You what?
You got my request song that I missed last night.
Which ones were they?
As Sure as the Sun by Ellie Halcombe.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And Pacific Gold, I'm Set Free.
I'm Set Free.
Okay.
All right, we'll get that in for you.
You missed them yesterday?
Yeah.
All right.
Can you play them tonight?
Well, hang on to your...
What time specifically? Because it's Wednesday and we air Pastor Skip's message live from Calvary Albuquerque on Wednesday nights.
About 12 p.m.
Okay.
12 p.m. Noon.
All right.
So today.
All right. Be listening,
What's your name?
Okay.
Before I get home.
Oh,
okay. Okay. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Here's the deal. There's no requests.
Ellie Holcomb.
On that line. You can't do that. You just can't do that. But we're going to let that one slide because, you know, he didn't know.
So he didn't know, so he doesn't get his request.
But he can. This is the one time that it's okay, but from now on, you can't call that. You can't call that line. I don't want to call it the request line because it's not.
Well, it's not the request line.
It's
Steve-O.
You can't call.
It's not the live line.
You can't call us and request. That's been a rule that has been in place since we started this. You can't request songs during the line, or we're going to hang up on you.
Whoa!
That's what will happen next time.
And you got to take a hard stance.
There's a warning.
You got to.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Gallup, New Mexico, on the live line. Only in Obama's America would people want to sue someone else for their stupid mistake. I would like to point out the fact that people have been suing people for stupid things since time began. Like, since you could sue somebody, people have stupidly been suing them.
I think it
you
goes
can't
back.
Actually put this one on Obama.
It goes back to the OT.
Well,
Moses struck the rock. Everything kind of went a little crazy right then, and then you panned over, and there was one guy in the crowd that said, "Wait a second, did you see how hard he hit that rock? I've got an idea. feel like I should represent that rock.
Oh man,
in a court of law.
Thanks, Gallup.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you
that's
guys
where
doing?
We get
fantastic
the term lawyer. It was based on the law.
I don't know.
No, he's just, what
can we do for you?
I was calling because I was wondering if my husband should have sued.
What happened?
So get this. So he works for, can't say who, but anyway, he's first on call.
Okay.
He gets stuck by a dirty needle more than once over his career.
Oh.
Okay, so every year he has a physical. And they test him for Hep C. Well, he came up positive more than once, and he was never told.
You gotta be kidding
me.
See, that
never
seems like
told,
a situation.
Right?
You need to consult a lawyer.
Yeah, don't consult us.
You don't want to consult us, but we're saying.
He had to have treatment. It's kind of like having cancer. He had to have treatment for a year.
Oh, my goodness.
He had to inject himself every week and take about, I don't know, 10 pills a day for a year.
Man. See, and this is a perfect situation where I think at times we have to step up, and it's okay. It's okay to sue. I think sometimes as a Christian we think, well, we shouldn't sue. Well, in situations like this, this company is obviously taking advantage.
Obviously.
Well, what you're saying, what you've told us.
Allegedly. You're
going to
get called on the witness stand. I want no part.
But here's the thing. Yeah. Okay, he was a... So this place he works, he's like a third generation working there.
Mm-hmm.
So his mom says yes, sue him. His dad says no, don't sue him because...
Because of family history.
Yeah, this is our livelihood.
Are they going to continue to do this to other people? That's where I'm going with this. They have to be held accountable so this stuff doesn't happen again.
Right?
That's where I'm going with this. You got to stop it.
So check it out.
Now he has Hep C. He's in remission for 20 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Which he doesn't drink, but he can never, like, drink again in his life.
Wow. Dude, sue. Now.
I'm just kidding.
Go out and, you know, just have 2 or 3 beers. He cannot do that because it's not good for him. So then in what happens in 20 years, it comes back and... Yeah.
No, it's awful. It's a serious, serious thing. And
it is.
I don't know. We're not going to give you advice on this.
No, I mean, we're done. He's retired. But it's just...
Hey, let me give you a quick example, okay? I just did it. I used the Google.
Hit the Google.
And I said, well, it kind of opens up a topic. Should Christians sue? Check this out. Acts chapters 21 through 22 talk about Paul being arrested and wrongfully accused of a crime he did not commit. The Romans arrested him and, quote, the commander brought Paul inside and ordered him lashed with whips to make him confess his crime. He wanted to find out why the crowd had become so furious. As they tied Paul down to lash him, Paul said to the officer standing there, is it legal for you to whip a Roman citizen who hasn't even been tried? Paul used the Roman law and his citizenship to protect himself. There's nothing wrong with using the court system as long as it is done with a right motive and a pure heart.
And I'm not saying, but I'm saying the situation.
Yeah, you know, where were you guys then?
20 years ago? Hang on, let me think. 20 years ago? 90, probably watching Nick in the afternoon.
No, it wasn't 20 years ago. It's been about 8 years ago. But, you know, where were you guys then? And I would have been like, yeah, because we don't want it happening to other people.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I hope is not happening. But
well, which, maybe it's time for you to make a couple calls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You better call Saul.
Wait.
Oh, you know what? I binge watched him yesterday.
See,
oh,
there you go. I'm just saying.
Hey, thanks for calling us.
And I was on Breaking Bad set. Yeah.
See, there you go.
You seem like a smart lady. Why haven't you called him yet?
Yeah. Better call Saul.
Thanks for calling in.
Hey, I love you guys.
Love you too.
My girls love you. We no longer listen to anybody else in the morning.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And we got to get us some swag.
All right.
All right, thanks,
later.
Guys.
Bye. Thank you. If a mom says, I love you, and you say, I love you, too, and then she says, our daughters love you, is it weird to say, we love your daughters, too?
Yeah, don't say that.
Okay.
All right, we got to go to break when we come back.
Not Obama's America.
Obama!
Amor Sierra
is
here. She's going to talk to us about Miami and
We're going to Miami.
Her life. It's coming up.
Will Smith.
Stay tuned. The Morning Invasion is coming back. It's time for The Morning Invasion. Here's Dex, Steve-O, and Teo on Star 88.
Let's get on with the show!
Good morning, everybody. How you doing out there, Starmy? 9:05.
High today of 68 degrees.
We have to welcome... our friend, Amor Sierra.
Yeah!
Hey, what's up, guys? Oh, my God, I'm so excited.
Excited for you to
geeking
be here.
Geeking out right now. Wow. Looking at you guys. Yeah. Last time I was here, it was Steve.
Yeah. It was just
Steve.
And now
it's you guys.
Oh, man. Steve-o.
Well, Teo was on tour, I think, at the time with House of Heroes, so Mitch was in here filling in. And
Yeah.
You weren't even here yet.
I wasn't here yet.
I wasn't here. It feels like I've been here forever, though.
It does. 1,000 years.
Hey, guys.
Too long, really.
Though, since I'm here, though, I do want to share something that is going to be the first people I share with. But
okay.
I got this text earlier this morning, and I hate to say this, but I got an offer
from Skip and Chip.
Are you taking the lead on the show?
I will be taking the lead.
Yeah,
that person who called is going to be so bummed because somebody called and claimed it.
Yeah, I heard him too.
This is
Calvary. You can't just name it and claim it here,
exactly.
Man.
It's a different place.
Different denomination, bro. Yeah.
So it'll be as of tomorrow morning.
Yes!
That's great.
I love it.
Well, you know, I'm sure you're going to miss Miami, but...
it's called the Morning Invasion.
You got the text. You got the same text. All right.
Steve-O's going to stick around.
Yeah. So let's introduce Amor to the Starmy, because you live in Miami.
Yeah.
And you have this incredible tattoo shop where you guys actually remove... tattoos yes. from women who have been trapped in the sex slavery.
Yeah, yeah. Women, men, and women. We remove those tattoos or we cover them up, depending on what the survivor wants. Sometimes they just want to cover up because they want it done as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. So we do that. We also work with former gang members who are doing a new life, and they have either gang tattoos or tattoos that are keeping them from getting jobs. Or with the gang tattoos, once they leave, they can't be affiliated. I mean, they can either get killed or have the tattoos cut out of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this past year, which is amazing for me because I used to be a cutter. So we're now doing tattoos on top of cutting scars wow. as a ministry. So that's been huge, you know, to be able to do that. So, yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah, yeah, you were on the show. When I first got here, we had you on, and we got to hear some of your story. And what did you want to talk about today? Because you have a lot to talk about.
Dude,
I mean, your story is incredible.
Yeah. It's like, so, where do we begin?
I don't know. I just want the Holy Spirit to lead you, whatever you want to talk
about.
Cool.
Well, I'm here this week because I joined Deliver Fund, which last time I was on the radio, they happened to be on. They were here live, and it's an amazing organization fighting human trafficking.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of going to help bring in the tattoo industry role, you know, to help them out. And
I'm so excited that you guys teamed up together.
Dude.
Because when we had a Delivery Fund on, we were so, so pumped about that mission that they were doing.
Yeah.
And how we could be involved and be a part of it. And, you know, they wouldn't allow us to be on the team or anything because we don't have any special ops training. But
we're not special forces.
You know, in a way, it feels like, you know, we did have something to do with it because we brought you guys together in some way, which is very cool.
Dex likes taking credit for things.
I am
trying to. You know, just constantly.
No, it's very cool.
That's a spiritual gift.
Well, they're pretty awesome. Dex. They're, okay. As you guys heard, and you guys can check them out at deliverfund.org, but they're like ex-CIA, Special Ops,
so cool.
Navy SEALs, and they've got this heart to come after this horrendous, you know, human trafficking epidemic that we have going on. And so what they're doing is bringing all that knowledge and that technology and what they have into finding, tracking these traffickers down, you know, disrupting their life, and then turning it over to local law enforcement.
Yeah, we never thought that there was sex slavery going on in Albuquerque.
Well, you just don't think about even in America, we always joke about, like, seeing Taken, you know, and that's the truth. It's really our only grasp on it is, you know, it's happening in third world countries or it's happening in other places like, you know, China, or you never think about it even happening in America, much less your own city.
Well, I've spent the last few days, what's so neat with them is that they bring me on for one thing and now I'm getting to do so much more, which has been so cool. So I've spent the last few days on Backpage, tracking down the different Backpage ads. And and let me tell you, man, there's a huge problem here in Albuquerque. Santa Fe Towels,
one of the most shocking things to me is like the whole, like it's basically just out there. You know, for anybody to just stumble upon. I couldn't believe it when Nick was telling us about that.
Yeah, but so I'm helping there, you know, kind of like looking at the different ads and trying to spot tattoos to try to figure out, you know, what the tattoo is, what it means, who it belongs to, and things like that. And so that's been really neat. I've got this, I feel like I'm on the show Homeland, believe it or not.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah,
I've got this, like, this wall, and I'm putting all these different things up on the wall.
You've got like the yarn going.
I got the yarn.
That's,
and so
that's
I'm like,
really cool.
I'm like, yeah. And then, you know, Nick has, you know, been so gracious and just teaching me what to look for and all the different things. And, you know, I was just telling you guys, like, I was yesterday over at my shop, we had a survivor there, and she had gotten a tattoo cover up. As a matter of fact, when we were working with her, when Chip and Larissa came into my shop a couple years ago, she's in Miami because we just finished doing this Shared Hope conference, a 3-day thing, and she's back there and she's got like just scars on her back from being whipped when she was trafficked. And so my guys are texting me, "Hey man, she's here. What do we do?" I'm like, "Hey guys, man, even though it's not a tattoo, man, that's a brand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's just take care of it for her."
Yeah.
You know, and the GM's like, "Should I tell the artist? Will you end up paying him?" I'm like, "Bro, trust me. Just go tell the artist, put him to the side, let him know what it is." I said, because as a matter of fact, just last week alone, he came up to me and wanted to get involved. And he said, "I'm all in," you know?
Yeah.
And so sure enough, I'm here, I'm online on Backpage ads, pushing my pushpins onto the wall, creating this like profile on, you know, trafficker we're looking for. And I'm getting texts from, like, at my shop. I'm not even there, and they're helping this girl come back to life by covering up these...
It takes a team.
Yeah, it's so incredible. Crazy. So I'm like, God, you're so good.
Yeah.
You know?
That's awesome.
I can't even... You know, somebody would have told me this 4 years ago.
Yeah.
We have to go back in time at some point, because I would love to be able to share your story, because we've had a chance to talk to you a few times, and I've been able to, like, build a relationship with you, and so I know your story, but there's a lot of people that haven't heard it that don't know. So I would love to travel back in time to talk about your salvation story, to talk about how God got a hold of your life, because we have a lot of people listening who maybe don't have that story yet. They don't have that redemption, that eye-opening truth of Jesus Christ yet. And so, or they're in a place where they're like, but you don't understand where I'm at, or what I'm going through, what I've been through, the relationships I'm involved in. And when I met you, it just, you've got a story.
It's crazy. I mean, obviously, for time's sake, we can only share so much, but I was just at Shine last week. I was in California. I got to speak at... So if you want to hear my full story, just go to Ryan-Reese.com, click on the Shine tab, and it was April 17th, which was my 50th birthday, guys. So, but pretty much, man, I grew up in a very abusive family, and, I always say the disclaimer, not because, they didn't know any better. And I have an amazing relationship with my mom today, which I didn't, and that's only through forgiveness and faith and Jesus Christ. And but she was super abusive, and, not just the typical discipline, like the whippings. I mean, I got scars from being whipped and tied up and locked in closets. And so my home life is like that. Then she's working three jobs, so we're latchkey kids, so we're home alone. So then what happens to me is neighborhood dads start molesting me at like seven years old. And then at eight, a contractor that worked a couple of shops down from where my mom worked, and my mom would have me there every weekend to, take care of me, he starts raping me, at 8 years old, sodomized rape. And that continues for like 6 years. By the time I'm 12 years old, he exposes me to pornography. So here I am, a kid, super abusive home, can't really tell my parents because I'm so afraid of them. The guy's threatening to kill me or kill them. I'm a kid. I mean, you tell me you're going to kill me or kill my parents, because regardless how abusive they are, you're a kid. You love your parents. That's all you know. So that's my warped life. Now I'm exposed to pornography. I don't even, so that's just crazy. At 9 years old, the night before school, I can't sleep. My mom hits me because I can't sleep, but I love my mom, but my mom gives me a Valium. I'm 9 years old. She gives me a Valium so I can fall asleep. And now what that does for me is now I get this feeling, this numbness of the pain, this now my desire for drugs. So I'm 9 years old. I'm taking Valium, drinking alcohol. So it progresses. I now find the kids who do drugs. So I'm smoking pot by 11, just speed, you name it. It just progressed to Quaaludes, to acid. Yeah. Parents get divorced. My mom marries a drug dealer. 1980. The stuff you see on Scarface and Miami Vice, I was living that. Wow, I was seeing that. So the house is full of cocaine. So by 14, 15, I'm full-blown alcoholic drug addict. So here's my life.
Man.
Here's my life. And, also, during that time, I remember maybe about 10 years old, just one day just being super dirty and my mom saying, "Man, you're so dirty. You look ugly." And then I remember thinking, so now I start always wanting to be ugly, dirty, ugly, because I don't want to look pretty. Obviously, it's the opposite. And then what that starts is people, when they would see me, tell my mom, "Hey, is that your son or a daughter? Are you a boy or a girl?" So now that starts getting ingrained. So, if you can even imagine this, abuse, sexual abuse, drugs, identity issues now being told, "Are you a boy? Are you a boy? Are you a boy?" So, fast forward, at 16, I end up going to Honduras, which is where my mom's from, stay there 10 months, come back home, hanging out with a friend. She's filling me in on what's going on. And she's like, "Do you know that?" And this is like 1983. So she's like, "Our two friends," whatever, I'll just say Mary and Martha, "they're girlfriends." And I was like, "What? what are you talking about? Yeah. They're girlfriends. I'm like, boyfriend, girlfriend? They're
right,
like,
right.
They're like, yeah, because granted, early 80s, no one's talking about
right,
gay.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's not your, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not like today, society, everything that was bad is now good, and everything that was good is now bad, you know?
Yeah.
And these kids are believing this stuff. So she's telling me that, and then all of a sudden, she looks at me and says, yeah, you're gay too. And I'm like, what? No, because I wasn't.
Yeah. Right.
I wasn't gay. Mm-hmm. But then she says, you know, the catalyst of that time for my life. She's like, yeah, everybody says so. And that's why you left. And everybody says so. And I left really mad. But that night I just started like allowing that lie, that lie to take me captive. You know, the opposite of 2 Corinthians, you know, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Clearly, I'm not a Christian then. But so I start thinking, yeah, man, maybe I am gay.
Mm.
Now this is beginning to make sense for me. That's why I get abused. That's why people would ask me if I was a boy. I wasn't, you know. So now I start living a gay lifestyle. And initially, it was innocent, you know, no sexual anything. But I started feeling safe in that group. I started feeling and identifying. You know, it's, again, identity. And I started identifying with the group. You know, it wasn't until later that I had then an older woman, you know, comes and, you know, takes advantage of me. And then I start into that lifestyle. But now I'm 18, 19, super turmoiled, still on drugs, in a lot of pain, you know, in turmoil because I'm living a gay lifestyle. I'm in the closet. I have like two lives. I mean, basically, I'm kind of like, I used to say that I was like a heterosexual, a closet heterosexual, because all I wanted was to be normal.
Yeah,
all
I
wanted was to have a husband, to have kids, to have, you know, a family, to be normal. So I'm super tormented. And I remember one day I'm in a club. And I got in a fight with some guy, and I ended up getting a beer bottle and just breaking it on my head. And I started bleeding, and I just remember that feeling almost started like masking the pain, the emotional pain I was feeling,
right.
And hence starts my cutting.
Wow. Mm.
So now I'm like cutting. I'm the bar fight girl. I'm always getting in fights because I just want pain. I just want to be hit. And then I go, you know, when you have this addictive personality, then I go into like extreme fitness, martial arts, because now I'm always guaranteed I was going to go in a bar and I was going to get in a fight all the time. Yeah. I was that person. And for me, I just wanted to get hit. I just wanted to feel the pain because it was helping mask and put a Band-Aid over the emotional pain I was feeling inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was insane. And, you know, fast forward. You know, there was one night I was like in a, you know, smoking crack. Back then it was Free Basin, and had a 4-day like just binge. And I felt, I heard a voice that said, you know, Moore, why are you doing this? You know, stop hurting yourself. I love you. Who I thought to be God. And I started thinking, man, if there is a God, you know, I want to know who this God is. And I start trying to get better, not sure, don't have the tools. I end up having back-to-back car accidents in like a 45-day period. At the end of that last car accident, I end up overdosing on all the painkillers, just a lot of stuff happened. But when I get out of, I end up in a mental institution because of that suicide attempt. And when I get out of it, I really now want to find God, you know, and I want to have a better life. I didn't, that, you know, the experience at that mental institution was crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm crossing the street, dude, and I get ran over by a car.
Wow.
Crazy. And so at that point, I'm in the hospital, and I'm like, there is no God. And if there is a God, he does not love me.
right.
And
real.
I'm
this
a loser.
Hates me. Yeah.
He hates me, and I'm a
my
loser.
My life sucks.
And I'm a loser, and there's no way. And my life completely just, you know, I finally get out of the hospital. I'm, you know, going through therapy. I'm finally able to get back out and walk. I don't have a place to live, and this is something that I just recently started sharing because I have freedom in Christ, thank God. But I end up, a friend of mine, ends up saying, hey, man, I know your situation, and I'm living at this house, this awesome house, and we got room for you. There's just one catch. You know, the guy who owns it is a drug dealer, and you gotta sell coke. And I was like, dude, anything is better than that. And sure enough, it was a super cool house. I had my own room, became a drug dealer, dealing drugs. Everything was cool. Just, it was awesome, always getting paid. And then, like, 2 months later, it was the hook, you know, the switch. Now it was like, I started getting raped by that guy at gunpoint, and then for like 3 months, all of us, all of the girls in this house, and for like the next 3 months, then he starts bringing in men, his buddies, and so he pretty much traffics us, you know. While in that house, I tried to commit suicide. I had seen on TV, in a movie, people playing Russian roulette, so I did that. I put one bullet in the, you know, in the chamber of a gun and just started like, you know, clicking it, and once I got to five clicks, I'm going on the next one. I trip, gun shoots off.
Wow.
You know, I freak out. Crazy. A few months later, I'm able to finally run away. The guy ends up getting killed by somebody, and I now started trying to do a better life, man. You know, I got a part-time job in the apartment industry, and one day, man, I met this lady who comes in to co-sign a lease for her sons because they are in new credit, blah, blah, blah. And she's there signing the lease, and she just looks over at me, and she goes, Amor, do you know Jesus Christ?
Mm.
And, man, I just remember, you know, just being at a moment and just saying, I don't, but I want to. And through that, you know, she ends up taking me in to live at her house with her family, disciples me. I go to church. You know, my life definitely starts changing. Give my life to the Lord. This is 1991. About a year into it, I end up getting promoted. I move to another county. Her and her family help me get my own apartment. I mean, I'm okay. You know, I'm trying to do good, still struggling, still dealing with a lot of shame. Hurricane Andrew ends up hitting Miami. Their house gets destroyed, so they have to leave the city while they're trying to get the house fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So we lose touch. I'm in another county, and I start going to church, trying to find a church that was similar to the one I was going to where people were really cool with me. But I start running into the churches with, like, the religious Christians. I kind of call them the Pharisees. And it was all about, oh, there comes that girl that talks about she was gay. You know, keep her quiet. And it was about the whole, no, just don't share that. No, don't share drugs. No.
Right.
So it was, you know, throughout a course of like 3 or 4 months, I'm getting all this badgering and all this more shame from the Christians, you know?
Yeah.
And
we don't know what that's like.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, as life would have it, I end up being, you know, I look back and I'm like, yeah, I was the seed that fell in the thorns, you know, the deceitfulness of wealth. You know, now I'm getting more promotions. I'm getting more money and the cares of the world, you know, getting badgered by the Christians, you know, and I just completely went astray. In a course of like a 9-month period, I just went from, you know, wanting to be a Christian to being a full-blown atheist.
Wow.
My life completely changed. I become a full-blown atheist. Then society, back to identity. You know, we're not what society says we are.
Yeah.
You know, we're not what the movies, what the magazines, what Instagram, Facebook says we are. We're what God says we are.
Or even what other Christians say we are.
Or even what other Christians, yeah.
You hear the story, and I immediately think of James chapter 3. Talking with Amor Sierra, by the way, owner of Miami Tattoo Company out in Miami, and just incredible. Man, incredible human being. But I wanted to jump in with James chapter 3. It says, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. And over the course of your story so far, it's amazing how these little ideas, these little thoughts, these little hateful words that were spoken to you started such a forest fire that was your life for years. To a point where when you finally found Jesus, from that time period that you found Christ and were in the church, all of a sudden you're being choked out, and it's the tongue of the church, if you will. Not the word of God, because we know in Romans 8 there's therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus who are called according to his purpose. And yet, so often we just, man, we shoot our wounded. We destroy our own.
Yeah.
But anyways,
So, and then back to society. It's early 90s, and you know, I'm still struggling, trying not to do drugs, still dealing with a lot of, you know, just lust issues from the, you know, the pornography abuse. And then an actress comes out on national TV, says she's gay. And then all of a sudden, there's like supposedly this gene. Well, back then, they were feeding that lie that there was a gene and you're born gay. Right. I mean, today, the research shows that that is not true.
Right.
You know, so people are not born gay, you know. And but now I start believing that. And all of a sudden, for me, it starts now making sense. And I'm like, whoa, this is incredible. I'm born gay. Now, that was like my... It made all sense for everything I went through. Here I think, and I want to be normal. I want to have a normal life. I want to have a husband. I want to have kids. That's why I was so jacked up, because I was born gay. And if you guys were here, you know, last year, I showed you the pictures of how I looked. I mean, I literally went as far as thinking I was a man in a woman's body.
Wow.
And no lie, had I had millions, who knows if I would have had an operation. Because I literally felt that I was a man in a woman's body. And, but now society is so cool with it.
Right.
And so now I come out. I'm out and proud. I'm open in my job. I'm open to my family. And that was it. And that was my life. And life got great. You know, all of a sudden, material possessions. I have an awesome house, pool, all that stuff that society says you should
dope
have.
Dope job.
Dope job, a lot of money, great partner, Harley, you know, two car, all that. And my life is just... plugging away. I'm awesome. Yeah. Life is great. Right. Mm-hmm. Everything's awesome. And one night, man, in 2002, I'm at work. It's after hours. I'm finishing up some work, and I can hear a scuffle in another office. My girlfriend's out there, and one of my employees is there, and her husband had just come to pick her up. And my girlfriend was there waiting on me. And there's this scuffle. And after like 10 minutes of it, I'm like, okay, I have to go out there and see what's up. Yeah, you know, this is my business that I work at. Let me go see. And I get out there, and my girlfriend's egging on the husband of my staff member. And he has a shirt that says, ask me about the gospel. And she's like, yeah, look at his shirt. And he can't even answer. We've been at it for 10 minutes, and he can't even tell me what the gospel is.
Yeah.
And I start badgering him. Dude. Come on, man, you with your Bible thumping, you know, I'm like messing with him. And dude, all of a sudden, man, out of nowhere, man, I just start the gospel.
Right.
The good news of Jesus Christ, how God sent his son to come into the world, you know, to die on a cross and be raised on the third day for the forgiveness of our sins. And I'm sharing, you know, how it's told in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I go into Matthew 13, talk about the parable of the sower, and I'm like, what? And they're looking at me
like pouring out of you, right?
And they're looking at me like, what? And
you never read that before?
No, back when. And it's like, you know, God just brings that out, you know. So I'm not even looking for God. And there he is, amazing, just showing up. And that was it, man. That was October 2002. And my life, I just remember getting in the car, dying to get home. She's yelling and screaming at me like, what the? You know, where does that come from? We don't talk about God. I didn't know, you know, and I just, God's working on me. And I just remember just looking over at her and just saying, I think I used to be a Christian. And then she keeps yelling, but now I'm on a mission. I just want to get home. I'm like, I know I have to have a Bible somewhere. Find it out in the shed, in a box.
Yeah.
I start reading the Bible. From that moment on, I'm like, hey, I'm moving in the guest bedroom. And, you know, I'm sorry. But I'm now, I know. Yeah. I'm convicted. I know I was a Christian. I know God died for me. I know he's going to heal me. I'm still going to struggle. But you know what? He's opened my eyes.
Right.
You know, and during that process, even on the drive home that night, God's just like replaying my life, and he's replaying like how when I'm getting abused and all that stuff, because I used to think, well, if you're so good, if you love me so much, you know, why did that happen? Where were you? And now God's replaying, like, I was there, you know, and I could see God there while all this stuff is happening to me, and he's got tears in his eyes, but he's what's kept me alive. Mm. And I'm just like, you know, and then I'm looking at everything I did, because those 9 years were I lived such an immoral life, and now I'm like just convicted and so sorry, and you know, my life starts changing. I had shared too, that girl I was with, God radically saves her too.
Yeah.
And then like a month later, I'm just faithfully reading the Bible. I had started in the book of Luke and reading all the way to Revelation. So it took me like a month to come back and start in Matthew. By the time I get to Matthew 19, there's a scripture where the the disciples are talking to him about marriage and divorce, and, you know, they say, you know, well, if it's such a mess, man, why do people, and of course, I'm paraphrasing, there's no version that says it like this.
If marriage sucks so much.
Yeah, like, yeah, pretty much. If it's so sucky, why don't people just not get married?
Yeah.
You know, and then back to, you know, a lot of people will message me all the time like, hey, man, share that. Why was that verse so important? Mm. And it's back to identity and people. There's a verse in the Bible that says man was not meant to live alone. So at an early age, I know in a Hispanic culture, you're like, you got to get married. You got to get married. You have to get. So it's ingrained in you. Yeah. So again, I'm can't be married to a guy because I've got all this abuse, so I choose this alternative because man was not meant to live alone. So for me, that was bondage for me, that I couldn't be alone, and being alone was not normal. So I'm reading that verse, and they ask Jesus, yeah, if it's so bad, man, why do people just not get married? And then Jesus says, well, you know, so there's a few that are called. And he says, some are eunuchs because they're made that way by men. And some, you know, are born that way. But others have chosen this life, you know, to follow the things of God. And then I'm getting goosebumps, man. Yeah. And then he
says, how many times have you shared this story, by the way?
A bunch. Yeah, right? Still.
Yeah, I know, right?
Dude, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. And, you know, and then he says, but to him who can accept it, let him accept it. And I promise you. And I get goosebumps because I know this is fact, and I know what I felt, and I'm reliving it. And I could have been high. I was doing a lot of drugs, but no, just kidding. No, I was high. But all of a sudden, I felt like the Matrix, and I got a program downloaded, I'm not a homosexual program, and it was instant. Like, it was like if all... It was gone. Like, I could feel in my body that I was no longer... It was supernatural. It was like the woman with the issue of blood that just touched the hem of his robe, and she was immediately healed. I was immediately healed from being gay. I mean, I wasn't immediately healed from lust and pornography and all those other issues, because a lot of times we think that because we're Christians, things should be great, and then we beat ourselves up when they suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, dude, that's our walk, because God transforms us, but... Romans 12 says we got to, by the renewing of our mind. So there's things we got to do. We got to feed ourselves. We can't keep feeding ourselves sewage, coming to church, sewage. You know, we can't keep doing that. We have to, renew our mind with the word of God, you know. So, it was a struggle, but it's 14 years later.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, life has continued. I have my ups and downs, but, but here I am, dude. Yeah. Here I am, and God is good, incredible. And God is real. Yeah. And if you're gay or you're struggling with that or suicide or cutting or you have friends, dude, don't lose hope. Yeah. You know, there is hope, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you know, I could keep on. I'm just so pumped right now. This is crazy.
This is your hour.
I know, right?
No, I'm just going to delete everything.
We're supposed to take a break, but hanging out with the Moore Sierra in studio, and just, I was so stoked when we were chatting last week, and it was like, I'm going to be in the ABQ, because I love spending time with you. It's always cool, and just, man... It's an inspiration, because a lot of times we have a lot of similarities in our life story, and so it's always incredible to get to hang out with those brothers and sisters that you call family, as a reminder that, like, God wins, man. Like, he's still on the throne.
Yeah.
He's still good. We live in a culture where we just have to put an identifier on everything, everything. And you know, we were tragically talking about this yesterday off air, of this 5-year-old little girl who likes playing with boy toys and likes boy things. So these parents right now, 5 years old, these parents are transitioning their daughter into being a boy because they're going, oh, well, obviously she should have been born a boy. Yeah. And this is the culture we're living in. And so if you're out there listening to those, man, whether it's the lies of culture or whatever it is, period, the end, you've got to come back to that hope in Jesus. Like, man, that is the truth that we have. It's just always great to have you.
And I don't want to plug things. I don't know if I'm allowed to, but there's this website called SuchWereSomeOfYou.com, and there's this documentary called Such Were Some of You, and it's from 1 Corinthians 6:11. Yeah. And And there's a bunch of research done. There's, you know, psychologists, therapists. But then there's people like me that we were living a gay lifestyle and through Jesus Christ have come out of it. And they talk about a lot of things. I mean, there's a lot of things that should happen when we're kids, when we're babies. There's a, like this age, like, you know, from toddler to like three, that there's things that our moms should or shouldn't do for us. There's things that our dads should or shouldn't do for us. And when those things are missing, something happens to us, and then that happens. And that's where you get people who say, yeah, but since I can remember, since I'm the first memory I have, I can already remember, like, and say, you know, and it's that. And people need to get, you know, educated and understand because we are, you know, we're not born gay. We're not born that way, you know, and there is hope, you know. People, I mean, again, you know, let me borrow my phone. I mean, I'm going to show these guys.
Such were some of you.
Yeah.com or .org. It's a you know, I buy that DVD and I give it away just because it opens up the eyes. And it's not something for you to go buy and just give to your gay friend that you think needs to be saved. Right. No, dude, do not do that.
Thank you so much for saying that.
Okay, do not do that. Yeah. This is something for you to watch yourself and get yourself educated so you know. Because honest to God, when I was in that lifestyle, the last thing I wanted was to hear about Christians.
Well, imagine that confrontation, something that you've believed, lie or not. Something you've believed your entire life, and some stranger, or even if it's a friend coming up to you and being like, man, you were so deceived. That's obviously not real.
Correct.
Here's the truth.
Yeah, no.
Oh, cool. You just offended me greatly. Screw you. I want nothing to do with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, no, because for real.
All right. We're hanging out with Amore Sierra from Miami Tattoo Company.
Yeah.
She's hanging out with us for the hour. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back. Hang out with us.
Morning Invasion on Star 88.
We'll be back right after these important messages.
The Morning Invasion with Dex, Steve-O, and Tao on Star 88.
It's a war zone. There are explosions. There are bombs going off. I can't even describe it.
Starmie, hi. How are you, Starmie?
Oh, hey.
Dex, Steve-O, Tao, Amore, Sierra.
Yeah!
Hey.
All the way from Miami.
Never been.
Never been either.
We got to have Chip have you guys come down to Life FM and do something.
Well, he has to pay for the whole thing. I mean, he's got to give me cash straight up. Yeah. I want a stack of cash because Miami's really expensive and I'm broke. Okay, so Chip, if you can make that happen.
I've been thinking about this amazing Star Wars sleeve up here that I just need.
Well, I told you we'd take care of your tattoos.
Oh, I know.
Oh, that's cool.
I told you we'd take care of your tattoos.
We need to get your buddy Dave Martinez to finish mine.
We had a
plan, and then he disappeared on me.
Dude, I got to go to Addictive Inc. I don't know if I don't know.
That's his
can
gym?
I say
that's his
people's business? Dude, that guy, Dave Martinez at Addictive Inc., what an amazing studio. What a heart. He started getting customers, and I just wanted to stay there to hear him talk about Jesus.
Right.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Addictive Ink, guys. You guys want a tattoo? Head on down to Addictive Ink. That guy is amazing.
Well, we can't legally say that.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Sorry. Take that back.
Yeah.
You know that I had to get like whatever you do when I was on Ryan Reese's show, I kept just saying things I shouldn't.
And they kept like, were they just like,
no, they were cool. At the end, like the producer, he's like, well, we're going to have to just cut out when you said crap. And I'm like, okay, I can't say that again.
Oh, you can say crap.
All right. And I said it again.
You can say sucks.
Yeah. I got to.
There's one word that Chip really hates, and it's, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I won't even say it on the air.
Hey, if you're just tuning into the show,
brainwashed.
You have to hit the podcast later on to hear the first part of this hour because, man, Amore's story is just. It's unbelievable.
It's inspiring, man.
It is supernatural. It is. God is so good.
Well, God is so good, man.
Speaking of, on the live line, somebody chimed in and said, hey, guys, can you tell Amore? I said, thank you. I've been struggling with a couple of things since I've come back to God, and just hearing her testimony has made a world of difference to me. It's super encouraging. Keep doing what you guys are doing. Thank you, Amore.
Thank you.
Boom.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say hi to Amore, and it was really awesome when you were here last summer.
Oh, thank you.
And got to see you, and I hope that while you're here, I'll get to see you at at one of the services. I don't know if you're around.
I'm going to come hang out tonight, and I'm going to come hang out on Saturday as well. So, yeah, okay. Come on and say hi. And thank you so much for that. Yeah.
I just think what you're doing is so awesome, you know, the trafficking and really making people aware of it.
Well, she's not doing the trafficking. She's trying to, like, help.
I know. You know what I mean.
I'm just kidding.
Don't worry about it. He does that to me, too. It's all good. Yeah.
Get him. Get him.
Get me.
Tell him to shut up.
Yeah, you can. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
No, you know what I mean, but making people aware of it.
I do. Yes. Thank you so much for calling it.
So, anyway. All right. But I just wanted to say hi to him more.
Hey, hi. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sure. See
you. All right.
338-3700 if you'd like to call in.
People who've never called into our show, I just want to make them feel accepted and welcome and comfortable.
Yeah, we want our listeners to continue listening to us build this big audience.
Yeah, you're one to talk. Yeah.
You can text us as well, 505-585-LIVE. 585-LIVE. You guys text us if you guys want to chime in. If you have a question for more, if you want to call in. We'll do that right now. It's an amazing story.
We've gotten a few things on the live line, 585-LIVE, and we were talking off air about one of them in particular, because you get questions all the time about how to handle situations. You know, you growing up in a crazy household and then a crazy lifestyle and being open to talk about your background, your sexuality, everything. Yeah. So you get a lot of parents coming up to you and saying, okay, I don't know how to deal with this. Because, I mean, as a parent, I can't imagine that. You know, like your son or your daughter coming up and saying, by the way, I'm gay. I got this dude or this girl, and we're going to get married. And you get questions asked regularly about how to handle situations like that. And I just thought to be able to openly talk about this on the air would be fantastic. Because there are people right now in these situations going, I don't know how to handle this.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just read earlier off the air an email. I mean, I got... Because granted, when I spoke last year, that was like literally the first time I ever shared my story. Because I was still, you know, so full of shame. You know, shame is huge for us Christians. But I got a lot of people reaching out that are dealing with that. And you know, I'm not going to change anyone's theology. You know, that's not what I'm about. But what I do know is that Jesus loves us and Jesus loves everybody. And even when he was walking the earth, you know, he was with the tax collectors. He was with, and by tax collectors, you know, these are like low life people. Everybody hated with the prostitutes. I mean,
like
he was
TurboTax
just
employees.
Sharing love. Yeah. Oh, man. You're going to get emails from those people.
I am.
I thought people downloaded TurboTax and did it themselves.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, those people. Yeah. But
so I'm talking about myself. Okay, cool.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, like, my own experience is, like, even when I was, you know, walking a full, you know, when I was just came to the Lord, I got bashed by Christians. So now when I'm walking full-blown out in Proud Life, I don't want to deal with Christians. Right. I don't want to hear about them because what they're showing me is not love.
It's the opposite of love.
So I don't want to know Jesus. It's like Gandhi, you know, has a quote, and again, I'll paraphrase it, but he says, like, yeah, I dig this Jesus dude, but it's his people that I hate.
I love your Christ.
Yeah, I love your Christ, but I hate your Christians.
Yep.
And as Christians, we just really got to be careful. It's love, man. Jesus is about love, and you got to love people. So if your son or daughter comes out and tells you that, you know, that they're gay, first of all, there's nothing you did wrong, okay? Because that's something I hear all the time. You didn't do anything wrong. What did you do? I mean, it's hard enough to raise kids with society being so open about, you know, what's used to be bad is good now and vice versa. But I would tell you, you got to love them. You got to let them see Jesus in you. Don't throw the Bible at them. Don't throw that video I told you at them. You can't. That's for you because
Amor said you need to sit down on this couch and watch this 30-minute documentary about how you're not born like this.
Yeah.
Sit down!
Exactly. Exactly. And you need to love them. And you need to love them because you need to show Jesus' love so that they end up wanting to find out who this Jesus is. Yeah. And then remember, Jesus is the one that does the restoration. He's the one that changes. Yeah. He's the one. And people will understand that having, you know, having sex with someone of the same, you know, gender as you, it's a sin. It's just a sin like any other sin. There's no, you know, big sin up here and little sin down here. It's a sin and it's a struggle that we can overcome through a relationship in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, like whatever the sin is, you know, so you got to understand that. So they're struggling with the sin. Yeah. Jesus can change them, not you. So you have to show them Jesus and you have to show them love. God is love. You know, you have to show them love.
You said something off air because we're talking about a question you received from a parent saying, "Hey, my child is gay and is getting married.
Yeah.
I don't know how to handle this. Do I even go to the wedding? Because obviously, you know, I don't approve. So should I even show up?"
Well, here's the thing. I, you know, one of my good friends from the time I was 13, you know, had the same situation. She ended up inviting me to her wedding with her partner. They've been together like 30 something years. And calls me and she's like, "Hey, this is what's going on. I don't know if you'll come. Will you come?" And I was like, "Well, I come. Of course I'm going to come. Man, you're my friend. You know, you're that one I can call at 4 o'clock in the morning from 200 miles away and you will pick me up even though I haven't talked to you in 5 years. You know, that's the friend she is." And I tell him, "You know what? Just go. You don't have to agree with it. But this is your son. This isn't like it's your friend from, you know, that you don't know or whatever. I'm not telling you that every weekend now all of a sudden you're going to go to gay weddings."
Right. I just want to be here in case anybody needs support later when this falls
apart. In case you need Jesus. Yeah.
I'm the Christian supporting exactly. this, but not supporting it, but I'm here.
Yeah. No, if it's your son or your daughter or your family, just go and show them love because you're showing them the love of Christ, and they're going to, that somehow, God doesn't waste anything, dude. Yeah. He does not waste anything. Somehow that will be something that resonates with them.
Why do you think we get told, because I'd say that the majority opinion on that would probably be, at least from a mainstream Christian standpoint, would probably be,
"You don't have to bake that cake.
Don't go.
You don't have to go to that
wedding."
Yeah,
like right now we're seeing laws get passed, about cake baking. Yeah. Literally, and stuff
well,
like that.
Well, the reason I'm telling you that is because caking. I lived a gay lifestyle.
Right.
So I'm coming at you from, I was there.
You have experience.
I would tell you that people that
What spoke loudest to you in that situation?
What spoke loudest to me, you know, is the hate that I felt I was receiving from the church people, you know, and how... Yeah, if that's the Jesus they want me to follow, heck no, man. Yeah. I am not. And and that's why, you know, a lot of people, and I'll speak just for me because I don't know what's out there, and I'm sure we're going to hear both sides and people calling in upset, but I'm talking to you from my personal experience, you know. What helped me was seeing the love of Christ through the Babbins, that family that took me in that showed me Jesus. You know, then seeing Jesus come back, and no matter how far I had gotten from him, he didn't let me go. He was there, and he saved me, you know, and seeing that love. So I was on both ends. So I would think that people that are, you know, telling, you know, that mom, no, don't make that stand. They don't know. They haven't experienced it, or they don't have a gay child, or they never were gay. I mean, until you're there and you experience it, you know, you completely change your point of view. I'm just saying, if it's your son or your daughter, man, just go to show them the love of Christ. You don't have to stand for that because we, you know, we don't need to stand for that. I'm not saying stand for it. I'm just saying show Christ's love to this person, because some way, somehow, that'll hit. Because let me tell you, gay people that don't want to know about Christianity, the last thing is they don't want Christians around.
Right.
You know, they don't want. So when they see a Christian being different, then it's like, again, that saying that most people will, the only Bible or Jesus people may ever know is your life, you know, and sometimes you need words, but most of the time it's just how you live your life that they're going to say, "What is it about you?" Well, let me tell you about my Savior, you know? So that's how I feel.
I know we're running out of time, but we got a question on the live line. We get asked this regularly, so I would love from your perspective, because this one comes from Albuquerque. How do you minister to a friend who is gay, but also say they are Christians and think what they are doing is right?
Yeah, I have friends that are like that. Again, that for me falls back to, it's a sin.
Yeah.
You know, it's a sin. And there's many of us who are Christians who are straight, who are sinning with all kinds of sins. I mean, you know, there's stats out. I mean, I was just at a human trafficking 3-day conference, and there's so many stats out there of how so many people in the church, there's so many issues with pornography in the church. I mean, I was watching an actual documentary about a pastor who was flat out, after they caught him and arrested him, and they were asking him, "Well, how were you doing it?" Who was flat out saying how he was molesting these little kids. So here's a Christian who's a pastor molesting little kids, who gets caught, and then he's there just sharing how he was doing it. And so I fall back to that. Yeah, I know gay people that have a belief in God, that, yeah, God hasn't radically changed them to have them stop sinning a sexual sin, because mm-hmm. it's a sexual sin.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a sexual sin, and if you can show me Christians, heterosexuals out there who are not, who are completely not sinning right. sexually mm-hmm. or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah, I have a lot of friends that still identify themselves as being gay. I have friends that tell me all the time, but you know what, I'm just not having sex, is that okay? I'm like, yeah, awesome, because that's the sin. You're still identifying yourself as you're gay, yeah, you know, and the girl I've been with for 20 years, we just share the house. I'm like, man, you love Jesus? Yeah. You accept him in your heart? You know, he's going to do the rest. Obviously, he's already doing that.
Right. Yeah,
because
right.
he already has you from having sex, because yeah. you know it. So I have friends who struggled with that yeah. sexual sin, who love Jesus and are yeah. there, and they're asking him to take that away.
Yeah.
And he's doing it.
Yeah. Mm. Man. God, I can't believe what time it is already.
I know. Our show is over.
You got here 5 minutes ago.
Amor, what
and
the
we
heck?
Have been trapped in a time
That's
warp.
What it feels
oh,
like.
For real.
It's been such Sucks. A great time I'm hanging so out with bummed. You. Every time you come back to Albuquerque, you
yeah,
better
absolutely.
Get in here
absolutely.
To hang out with us.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Thank you for all the gifts.
Oh, you got it.
So yeah. nice.
She brought gifts for us.
She yeah. sure did.
Awesome.
All right,
thank you guys.
Where can people hear more about you? Do you, I know you probably have a Facebook and a
yeah,
website.
Yeah, yeah. Facebook, Amor Sierra, A-M-O-R, and then Sierra, S-I-E-R-R-A. Instagram, A-M-O-R, S-I-E-R-R-A. Again, if you want to see my full testimony, go to ryan-reese.com and click on the shine. It's also on his YouTube page, and I talk a lot more. Just check it out. Add me. Be patient. I'll get back to messages, but just be patient. I will answer everybody, all right? Mm. God bless you guys. God is good. God yeah. is love, and he is hope, and he loves you.
Shout out to Billy, your general manager from Miami Tattoo Company, who's streaming us right now
no
down
way.
In Florida.
What's up, Billy? What's up, Billy? I love that guy. That guy is the best.
Yeah. All right. If you Woo. Missed any of the show this morning, and especially this hour,
I know, right?
Hit the podcast. It'll be up here in just a little bit. Go to iTunes, Google Play, star88.fm. Just Google Morning Invasion.
That's it for us.
We love you guys.
People.
Goodbye.
That's all we got. There ain't no more.
That's right.
Time is tight. It's the end of the show.